Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
People of Earth, testing, 1, 2, Mike.
3, 4, yeah.
There you go.
We're here.
We're live.
Holding it down.
The fort is in our hands.
We're streaming live.
What will the future hold?
What? Indeed.
On the microphone, AP Mike, associate producer of The Best Show.
How you doing out there, folks?
On the other mic, myself, untitled producer of The Best Show. General producer? I don't even really have a title.
Yeah. You had a bad nickname for a while.
I did.
Yeah. I won't use it in this context.
Oh, whatever. I'll embrace it. The number's 201-209. What? No, it's not. That's FMU's number. 201-DEAD-HUG. 201-332-3484. This is Slice of Life, the official Best Show fill-in show. Tom is A-OK. He's taking care of some work things. And maybe he'll call in later. You never know. But until then, you got to get the phones ringing for the topic of, Mike, please stop.
Please stop.
How would you explain this?
Yes. I introduced this last week, but we couldn't take callers. I think it's a good topic.
Absolutely. The consensus is the little things in life that you think should just end.
Yes. I introduced it last week when I saw a woman tossing her infant child up in the air outside MetLife Stadium after a Jets-Cowboys game with drunken, delighted Jets fans careening around her and disgruntled Cowboys fans, also drunk, careening around her. It just seemed like a bad personal choice. I can add to that, the past 2 days, I've been bossed out twice. And by that, I mean people have called me boss, you know, twice in the past 2 days. I think there's a general mocking tone when somebody calls me boss. I'm not quite sure.
Were you at a pizzeria?
No, one I was in a bagel shop.
Was the bagel boss there?
No.
Well, how about this? We're gonna kick off the show. This is the topic. Then we're gonna come back.
Those are examples.
Yeah, we're gonna get into all these things, but the number again is 201-DEAD-HUG. That is 332-3484. And if you want to get on the fun, that's how you do it. This is Slice of Life. Tom will be back soon, hopefully in the next week or so. And we will hold it down until then. I'm actually trying to buy time until I can get the sound working out of here. But Mike, give out that number one more time.
201-332-3484. Is that right?
That is right. I need a few more seconds. I really feel what Tom feels when he tries to click something on the computer and it just won't play. Wow. It's not fun. This is me experience. It's like I sometimes think he fakes the angst just because it's like in character. But no, this is rough.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm struggling here.
But you're a real radio person. I'm not. I'm a fake. I'm a fake radio person. I've been winging it all these years, but I've never worked a board.
Oh, it's because Jason's on his phone.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Jason is not here tonight.
I just texted get off Spotify for 10 minutes. All right. This is not the super tight opening I had hoped for. But
we're keeping it loose.
Yeah, we are keeping it loose. Again, the topic is the little things. Also, I had a subtopic, which is kind of interesting for maybe newer listeners to the show.
Mm-hmm.
The Best Show has been on, am I getting this right, 19 years maybe going on?
I think it started
2000,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
and there was
yeah.
a little bit of a break between FMU and here.
Uh-huh.
So it's like about 19.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been on since 2005.
Yes.
I've been listening since maybe 01, and you about then maybe 2.
Mm-hmm.
So we've worked on the show for many years. For anyone who's a newer listener of the show and is a little lost in, like, what all these things are that, you know, these little
inside jokes
between, Tom and John calls, or, who is the e-cigs for legs guy? What all those things are, if you have questions, if you're newer listeners, or if you're an older listener, I just always kept your tongue, bit your tongue, not sure. We'll do our best to answer it here at 201 Dead Hug. That's 332-3484. And eject the CD, please. Thank you. God, this is not what I was hoping to start.
It's real. You're keeping it real.
Yeah, man. I am keeping it real here. But, all right. Here's Baron Switfield and the Savages. And we're going to come back in a little bit. Slice of Life here on thebestshow.net, here with you a couple hours or so. Stay tuned. The great Modern Lovers with Government Center. Awesome power pop before that. The Toms, going out to Tom, who can't be here tonight, but he will be back. I'm with AP Mike right now. And we're doing the Slice of Life fill-in show. That's you can call it 201-332-3484. That's 201 Dead Hug. The name of that song by the Toms is Let's Be Friends Again off the self-titled album. That is a power pop gem from late 70s, suburban New Jersey. I think the guy played every single track. It's a great album. And it was reissued a few years ago. Government Center, of course, off Modern Lovers, self-titled album, one of the greatest albums of all time. And starting off the set was Baron Switfield and the Savages from the album Under the Savage Sky. We heard Willow from Bloodshot Records, 2015. Great, great stuff. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing good, Tom.
I'll take it. That's a compliment.
B&H has been.
Oops, that's an ad. We introduced this topic a little bit last week, and I'm so sorry. I had your mic accidentally down. Try that.
We had technical issues last week, so we couldn't get callers.
That's right.
And I thought, you know, the topic would be good for people to chime in on.
Right.
When you see people acting badly in public, or maybe not in public, and you just wish people would stop.
Right.
And I think we all experience that, and I think it could be something people could relate to.
Right. All right, so give us a ring at 201-332-3484. Lines are open. We only have one call on the line right now out of four open lines, and we all know who this call is. Should we just get it out of the way?
Yeah, why not? And please let it ring. We have no call screener tonight. So
right.
Let it ring.
Call screener.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And you're behind the mic tonight.
Yeah.
Mic on mic at 201-332-3484. And if you're a newer listener of the show, the regular show, the main show, the ball game, best show, then you might be a newer listener that is unsure about the almost two decades of material and inside jokes thereof. So we're here to fill in the blanks as best we know them. Maybe you don't know what the mouse wearing the little cape means. Maybe you don't know who e-cigs for legs is. And actually, frankly, neither do we. But well,
I do.
Well, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, don't tell me. I kind of want the mystery to just continue.
No, I'm not going to reveal his name, but he has reached out to me. We've had a little correspondence.
Okay.
I've never met him.
And we're on Twitter, by the way, at Best Show for Life, Instagram at Best Show for Life. And at AP Mike, I'm 1-800-PAT-BURN, and Mike will be our Twitter social media guru tonight on the computer. So I guess let's just get this call out of the way while we have him, right?
Sure.
He doesn't care who's hosting, right?
He's got an event coming up, I believe.
An agenda. Avalanche Bob, you're on with AP Mike and Pat Byrne.
There.
Are you there? Bob.
Who is this, Pat?
This is Pat Byrne, yep, and AP Mike. You're on with us right now.
Oh, great. How are you guys, man?
Doing good.
Great. Great. That's wonderful. You know, you are all my friends, and nice to talk to you. Things are pretty good. Owen Klein's working on this movie. It'll be out. I got a little part in that. I think I'm going to do, we're going to do the Halloween show this year at Maloney's. I'm not quite sure, but I think we are, because I had to get a new band together. And I'm putting songs at the Apollo on,
at the Apollo
on Facebook, and just for the heck of it, and see what happens, you know. And I put one on now, Haunted House Rock. I got my other one from a couple years back, Dance of the Hags, and you know, and Superboard Music, and you want to hear a song or what?
Or what? Yeah.
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 Okay.
You want to hear one?
Sure. Is this going to be a Halloween theme?
Oh, well, you're kind of low. I don't think the connection is good, guys.
We can hear you. We can hear you,
it's
Bob.
It's a very bad connection.
No, go ahead.
You're good, Bob.
You're loud and clear. Loud and clear.
I am?
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Look, we got the snowboard. Snowboard music's all American music. Snowboard music's all American music. We got the music, we got the snowboard, yeah. Oh, rap was nice to have around, but now rap is starting to get me down. I think it's time we got a new dance.
And a little vaudeville in here.
We got a band now! We got the music, we got the snowboard, we got the music, we got the snowboard, we got the music, we got the snowboard. Superboard music, all American music. Snowboard music, all American music. Snowboard music, all American music. Wow! Yeah! It's so nice to have a new sound. Yeah, there's a new sound you want to kick around. There's a sound that's going to sweep the USA. Yeah, I'm going to blow everybody away, yeah. We got the music. We got the snowboard. We got the music. We got the Super Bowlers. Yeah, I'm the best. But not the lady, you're the rocker, little punk, then the bucket, 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 bucket,
bucket, bucket, bucket, bucket, bucket. Ooh, what was that last bit with the throat? You got like, are you like one of those
throats? You like it?
Yeah, I never heard that. It's almost like gargling. It was like sort of a throat singing.
It was like a gargly throat singing, yeah.
Have you done that? You been working on that?
Can you hear us? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it was fine. It was great.
Yeah, it was great. Did you say rap is over in this? I thought I heard
that. No, I said rap was nice to have around, but it's starting to get me down.
Oh, that's fair.
I think it's
that's
time
fair.
For a new dance and give a rock and roll a kick in the pants.
Yeah. Well, I agree.
Oh, I'm not saying rock and roll is dead.
No, I agree.
Dead.
I agree.
No, I'm just saying we need something new.
Yeah.
Rock and roll isn't dead, but
it's
in its death throes. It's on its deathbed.
Yeah, sorry. I'm having a hard time putting these calls on hold. I'm multitasking here, so we may have dropped out there, Bob. But yeah, so so people can check that out, and you know, I last time we had you on one of the fill-in shows, Bob. I asked you a little bit about your life and history. I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable, and I don't mean to make you, and believe me, that's the last thing I want to do now. But, you know, still looking for that, that single you put out in the 50s there, the Bob Crimby, on Cool Records, the Harrison, New Jersey label.
Yeah, that was where Yodel and Punk began.
Yeah, I'm still looking for any record, collectors out there that have a hold on that. I'm willing to pay. Maybe not top dollar, but medium dollar for it.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm looking for. So any Bob 3-3, Bob Crimby, Avalanche Bob fans out there, if you have the Cool record, you can drop me a line over at pat@wfmu.org. That's my email.
Can I ask you a question, Bob? Have you ever been on a snowboard?
What was that?
Have you ever been on a snowboard?
Have I ever been? No, but I know all about the music, and I mean, all about the terms and everything else, you know?
Don't you think it might add to the authenticity of your music?
Yeah, you're very low. I can hardly hear you. Maybe your connection is good, but.
Oh, okay.
So, listen, I'll talk to you guys later. Have a great Halloween, huh?
Maybe
you too. I'll call Tom next week with a Halloween song.
All right. Well, we always appreciate you. Thank you.
Thanks, guys, for everything you've done. Did you like that song?
Yeah,
sure
great.
Did.
Great. Okay, there's a lot more coming. There's a couple of albums coming. I hope to get a new Christmas album next year. And I'm doing what God told me to do. That's all, you know?
That's all we can do.
That's all we can do.
That's all.
Amen, brother.
So I take the bows and rock with the man, you know?
Yeah. Well, we
take
appreciate
the what?
You.
I'm doing it to inspire people, man, and show them that, you know, I don't think the word today, I think there should be a new word, older. Older, really not the word for today. There's young older, maybe there's older, the young older to take care of the old older. In fact, that's in one of my Broadway musicals. I got an idea, Superboarder from Hell. But, I mean, a snowboarder from Hell. But, Pat, thanks. This is Pat, right?
Yeah, it's Pat and Mike.
Yeah, guys.
You're only...
Maybe I'll call Tom this week and you'll say, Happy Halloween!
There we go.
Cheers to you, buddy. Hey, you're on with Mike and Pat. Hey, caller, are you there? Caller, can you hear us? You're live. I think they hung up.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Oh, caller, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, I'm still learning this phone system. Sorry. How are you? You're welcome to Slice of Life, a name I don't love.
Hi.
I thought we could call it the Pat and Mike show. I mean, this is a different show than last week.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you over the phone. I tried to call you. Yeah. Were you working last night?
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
I tried to call you.
I was at the Jets debacle.
Well, see, that's the thing. I actually wanted to see what I was going to pitch to you, Mike, was I wanted to do a sports show parody where it's me and you, and I had some ideas for doing maybe calling it Mike and the Sad Dog or Mike and the Rad Dog, and I would be kind of like, you know, eccentric and like into it and like in your face, but like not – I wouldn't know anything about sports. So like people would actually call with sports stuff, but I wouldn't know anything.
Uh-huh.
And because it's World Series, I don't know. I just thought that would be something different. But caller, would you have listened to that and enjoyed that?
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, we've got to put a little more thought into it. I have been thinking about, I'm a regular listener to Mike Francesa. And one of the highlights of listening to the Mike Francesa show is his commercial, when he reads a commercial. He hates doing it. And so he barely puts any effort into it. It's sort of just he rambles on quickly. You know, and it's horrible. And I was thinking, like, what if he did readings, poetry readings, from say the Norton Anthology of Poetry, what would Mike Francesa sound like reading? You know, William Carlos Williams, you know, T.S. Eliot.
Well, now that he's an actor, yeah,
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 he's an actor.
Uh huh. I have to do more rehearsing with that though. Caller?
Yeah. Did you have something for the topic? What's your name?
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Josh.
Josh.
Josh in Orlando.
Hey, Josh.
I think I've met Josh. Did we meet?
No, but I've called in a few times.
Oh, okay.
Probably not very memorably.
Do you live in the Milk District?
Oh, my God. I live like 2 miles from there, but yeah.
Yeah. You ever go down to a barbecue or... What else is there? The Social in Orlando, right?
Yeah.
I know a little Orlando, okay? It's not all theme parks, folks. Look it up.
No, thank you for the respect.
You know, it's not all theme parks, folks. It's inland, but they got some lakes going on. They're only an hour from a very nice beach, right? It's got some stuff going on. I have friends in Orlando. Everything's cool, and nothing's wrong. So tell us, Josh – you had one for the topic, or are you a newer listener who needs some info?
No, I'm an old listener in both senses of the word, and I have one for the topic that I did want to say that on you guys mentioning about your sports show idea. I called one time. There was somebody had a motocross or not motocross. Formula One race car show on the local college station.
Sure.
which is super niche sport. And I was listening to it, and I was, like, so enjoying the fact that they were into it that I called them up, and I was like, hey, I love the show. And they were like, oh, yeah, like, what did you want to talk about? And I was like, oh, I don't know. I have no idea. I've never
yeah.
So I kind of played it off like, oh, yeah, nothing, just great show.
Yeah, well, that is one thing, you know, I mean, tonight's kind of an off off night because it's a fill-in show, but we could also do a little bit of listener education because when you for callers who have never called the show, and not this show, I mean the main show, the real ball game, the best show, mm-hmm. and I'm using these innuendos because it's first night of World Series, and mm-hmm. and maybe this is Mike and the Sad Dog.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if we're leaning into it now, but
we're competing with the World Series tonight, maybe. Yeah.
But what's better, caller, Mike and the Sad Dog or Mike and the Rude Dog? Because I'm thinking like Rude Dog and the Dweebs or something, which was a clothing line / cartoon to sell the clothing line in the early 90s. Okay.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Anyway, it was real. It was totally real. Why make it up? I'd just be wasting everybody's time. So... Where was it going to, so callers of the show, you know, and a lot of people don't do this, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Which I think infuriates Tom because if you ever hear Tom say, to whom am I speaking, right? Mm-hmm. It's because the caller already committed a faux pas, which was you call up and you say your name and where you're from. And if you want, if he hasn't spoken yet, just go right into what you got for the topic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think Tom would actually probably appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
So it's best show phone call protocol. You call up, you have your name ready and where you're from.
Yeah. Don't beat around the bush.
Don't say, hey, Tom, how you doing? Don't say hello. just
you can say how you doing. I mean, it's a standard greeting. Mike Francesa, you know, hates when people say that. So now people automatically say it just to get on his nerves.
Yeah.
So it's always great when people ask him how he's doing.
Right.
Every other caller, and you just hear him, fine. You know, he tries to get it over with
as quick as possible.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. We're also fielding questions about Mike Francesa tonight. So,
yeah.
Oh, sorry. You still there?
Yes.
All right. I'm having a hard time figuring out how to put other callers on hold and not pause the call I'm currently on. So I don't answer the phones on the air every week. I do other things. But yeah, if anyone has questions about what we do. We'll answer that too. But tonight's topic is please stop the little things in life that you wish would just stop. Mike mentioned a grown up with a young child being thrown in the air in a dangerous setting. He's saying please stop. I'll say please stop to a number of other things like I don't know. You know, not signaling when you drive. Please stop.
that's
what I'll say. 201-332-3484. That's 201 dead hug. Stand by a second caller. Okay, I just put someone else on hold. Stay on hold if you are on hold. So, Josh in Orlando, you live about a mile from the Milk District, which is an up and coming part of an arts district, if you will, of Orlando. And you got Anna Eskamami, right, down there.
Oh,
Who's killing
Thank
it
you.
With the Democratic legislation. She flipped Orlando.
God.
Listen,
yeah.
I know all this, all right? I met her in a coffee shop down there like many years ago before she was even running. And I was like, this person seems like it was like they're going to do something. And then – you know, I see like years later the news like went like that when Time Magazine had that cover, you know, the Avengers where it was like all these women running. And I was like, that's that girl I met in a coffee shop one time. And yeah, they flipped your district blue and everything's been, you know, kind of
coming up, you know, avenged. And good for Orlando, I'll say that. Let's keep it going. Not that this is a political show, but let's do our best to make the world a good place, no matter what side of the coin you're on, right?
Yep.
Well, thanks for calling, Josh. I hope you call the main show sometime soon, and we'll hear.
Let me just say this: like most Americans, the only time I've been to Orlando was to go to Disney World.
Uh huh.
And how often have you been to Disney World, Josh?
I did have one quick one for the topic.
Oh, okay, sure.
It's basically don't blame the spouse.
Is this still Josh?
Yeah. Leave him on.
I'm trying to put
one for the topic.
Yeah, I'm just trying to put. Can I put one caller on hold?
Okay.
There's actually two calls, so hold on a second.
Yeah.
Pat's multitasking.
All right, I figured out how, and I kept. And now I can leave the caller on. Everything's great. Go ahead.
Cool.
Yep. It's fine.
So please stop blaming your spouse.
Don't blame your spouse. Yeah.
It tends to be men blaming their wives, but I want to try to be, you know, get equal opportunity with it.
It goes both ways.
I don't want to be too specific, but in my job, I, you know, am called to respond to people wanting things done, and there's a certain type of person who wants something done but doesn't want to admit that they're upset about it or that they've got a problem that's kind of like maybe not 100% justified. And the way they do it is they pass it off by saying like, well, I don't really care, but my wife, blah, 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 blah. And I just think that's like the lamest thing ever.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, so it's like an excuse, using the spouse as an excuse.
Yeah, just own it. Something's bothering you and you would like someone to do something about it. Don't be like, well, I don't really care and I'm not trying to be difficult, but my wife, blah, blah, blah. It's like, wow, you really have a high regard for your wife or your spouse, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's a good one. Yeah.
I actually had some recent experience with that where, I was dealing with a married couple. And they basically contradicted each other when they spoke to me directly. And they were using that, they would say, oh, I meant to do this, but, you know, their spouse didn't want to do it. And they both did it.
Uh-huh.
So it was a double, you know. They couldn't just speak to me directly. And so I don't know what happened, really. So, that happens. Quite a bit, yeah. As an unmarried person, I don't have access. I can't do that. but it must be one of the perks of being married, you know, to use the spouse as an excuse, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'm listening, but I'm also trying to post this to Instagram that we're live. But thank you for calling, caller.
Thanks, Josh.
Again, thanks, guys. Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
All right. This person's been on the longest. Hey, you're on Slice of Life with Mike and Pat.
Hey, guys. This is Matt in...
Oh, I'm sorry, Matt. Matt in where?
Phoenix.
Hey.
AZ, Arizona. I'm
still figuring out these phones. We have two other callers on hold, which is great. And you could keep those calls rolling in at 201-332-3484. That's 201-DEAD-HUG. Topic is please stop the little things in life you wish... just would stop. We're filling in for the best show tonight. Tom will be back soon, possibly next week, maybe the week after, doing some work thing, and he'll be back soon. So go ahead.
Yeah, I have one for the topic. I think people need to stop talking on phones while dealing with service personnel. So either at like the cashier at the grocery store or, you know, you're having someone, you've come to a place, you're getting service, and you're having a full-blown conversation on the phone with someone else. I'm not, like,
so
jaded. I hate, you know, when people are on their phones in public.
Yeah,
but,
I'm guilty
just,
of it.
You know.
Are you saying really? The server or the customer?
The customer, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when phones first came out, I was seeing people behind the counter doing that, which was really, but people have cracked, I mean, most businesses have cracked down on that. I mean, you can't do that.
Right, exactly. Well, there's recourse.
But yeah, I mean, I see customers who, I mean, Actually, not so much, but, you know, yeah, the phone is, you know, people can't let go of their phones. And
yeah, and it's just if you have someone else in front of you, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of the dehumanizing element.
Oh, yeah, that's been going on. And I'm actually, I think, at a crossroads, because I think I've talked about how I've been resistant to the whole phone thing. I have a phone. And basically, I don't give anybody that number. I have the phone for when I have to.
I never know if I'm calling your landline or your cell phone.
No, because I never give out the cell phone.
Well, no, so, I have it because you.
Oh, did I give it to
Well,
you
I've
once?
Known you for this
okay,
long.
Okay, we had to meet somewhere.
We've had to meet somewhere. Okay, yeah, like yeah, I yeah. have it, but I think that's. I called what I thought was your old landline last
uh-huh,
night,
uh-huh.
and I got someone who answered, like, hello, who's this?
Well, that's the automatic message on my...
No.
Yes, it is. I never changed it. I never put my voice on there.
No.
Yes,
no.
That's exactly
Come
what
on.
It is. Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No, no.
Right, so I fell for somebody that you put on your voicemail.
I didn't put it on there. It's there automatically when I got
so
that
you're,
phone.
So you got a phone that has yeah. a stranger's voice going, hello?
No, it
Who's
says,
this?
It says...
I'm telling you, I had a conversation with somebody who I dialed wrong out of a saved number in my phone that used to work that you gave me.
Well, that's weird.
It is weird.
Okay.
So you're
Oh, maybe you called my old work number?
That's what I asked. Oh, and I even said to the guy, is this a place of business? Did I call a business? And he long pause and he goes, who are you trying to reach? And I go, Mike, won't say your last name.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, people know it at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
But I say Mike. And he goes, you got the wrong number. I'm like, I know I have the wrong number. Who am I calling? Who am I calling?
And why was he toying with you?
I have no
yeah.
effing idea.
Yeah.
I was just, like, clearly mad at this point.
Okay.
And, like, I don't know if I called H&H or Masses.
Oh,
or,
I think that's what that, you probably
all right,
called.
But who... You clearly said that I was working last night. I got your voicemail.
Uh-huh.
What did I call? Did I call your cell phone? Or
no,
your
I got your message at
on
my
your
home. My home.
Your
number.
Home.
Yeah.
Okay, so then I don't have your cell phone anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's what happened.
Wow. Well, you heard
we
it
got
here
that
first.
Straightened out.
Yeah. Glad that's out of the way. Caller.
Yes.
Still with us?
Yeah. That's all I got for you guys.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. And you're calling from where again?
Phoenix.
Okay.
And are you a Cardinals fan?
Yeah.
Not really. Take.
We're switching over to Mike and the Sad Dog here.
No, I just went through. I worked the Giants-Cardinals game where the Giants were abysmal. And there weren't too many Cardinals fans in there. I'd have to say it was so quiet in the stadium, I knew something atrocious was happening. And then, yeah, then I saw that the score was 14-0. The Cardinals were up, and I was like, oh, okay, that's why it's so quiet. And then I worked last
night. They're
night's...
at best, Cardinals fans are at best, you know, like home team. We'll go to the home games and not much more.
Yeah, I mean, they just don't seem to have a big fan base. I mean, it is sort of interesting how, you know, working at the stadium that so many visiting teams have big fan bases and they show up. I mean, the Cowboys game, I would say there was almost more Cowboys fans there than Jets fans because the Jets fans were savvy enough to know that they can unload their tickets for a lot of money. So they'll sell their tickets to make a few bucks. They probably expected to lose, and the ones who held out actually had a enjoyable time. But last night they resorted to form and people were leaving by halftime. It was terrible.
Can you hear the Harlem Globetrotters theme in the background?
I'm loving it.
Oh, great.
And I'll say probably keep Mike and the Sad Dog in mind.
Okay, so you like Sad Dog versus Rude Dog, right?
But you're not a sad person.
Well, today I was. I was a bucket of sad. But but I'll get into that later. Or no, actually I won't, because we're gonna keep the show moving at 201-332-3484. So you like Sad Dog versus Rude Dog? Is that right?
Yes, the flow is better.
Okay, because something I love about Rude Dog, I don't know what it is.
But you're not a rude person either.
I know, but it'd be a caricature.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
Thanks, caller.
I think that's funny.
Yep. Wait, is that you? Are you still on the air? I don't know. Is this a new caller? Sorry. first time using a phone. Very excited. Hello? Hey, are you on the air? Caller, you're on Slice of Life. Okay, I did it wrong. Hey, you're on Slice of Life with AP Mike and the Sad Dog.
Oh, hey, how you guys doing?
I'm doing great now. Now I'm talking to you.
All right, is this the call screening process?
No, we're live.
Oh, no, actually, no, this is call screening, but I'm going to switch you to live right now. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
We're live.
Oh, is this Pat and Mike?
It is. Who's this?
Oh, hi, this is Mike in Philly.
Okay. How's it going, Mike?
Good, good. I wanted to touch on the how you doing introduction, what you were speaking about before.
Okay.
Yeah. I moved to Philly from New York, and in New York, how you doing is just kind of a phrase that we kind of adopt a saying, and it's just a custom statement, essentially.
Yeah.
And when I moved to Philly, I had to get a job, I noticed that it's not anything they kind of respond to it, so it gets me all kinds of dirty looks, and people just don't respond to it. So,
how do you open a conversation?
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty
look,
much.
I'm from North Jersey. I say how you doing, and I expect somebody to not answer the question, but look at me and nod and go, how you doing? Like a quick nod. And you say it in one breath. I do it too. Mm-hmm. I grew up here. You know, I say call me, spelled C-A-W-L, dog, you know, all those things I say, you know, coffee, whatever.
They don't, I don't get responses to how you're doing. So I kind of adopted pleased to meet you. Mm-hmm. And I feel that's kind of awkward. So I was just curious if there's any sort of universal greeting that I should go with maybe.
Well, first of all, it's pleased to meet me is arguably the better Replacements album, right? Are you more of a Let It Be fan?
I suppose Let It Be, yeah.
Yeah, whisper words of wisdom. Let It Be. Mike?
Or the much-derided Tim.
Oh, yeah, sure. Tim's got the hits, yeah.
Tim's the album, everybody's going, I like Tim, but, you know, the production, you know.
Tommy Ramone. Tommy Ramone, maybe his best work.
I mean, you know, you've heard it for so long, it's a cliche, but I don't know. I love all three of those records. That's the pocket for them.
Yeah. Anyway, I digested. What were you saying? You want to know what greeting to have over the radio or in general life stuff?
In general, I kind of adopted pleased to meet you, and it works, but it's just it feels kind of awkward to me.
Well, yeah, because you're not in 19th century England.
Yeah.
So we got to find you a different one. All right, let's find you the perfect one right now. Hang on while I try to put someone on hold and hopefully don't switch over to them. And I accidentally did, so, and now we're back to you. Okay, so caller on hold, stay on hold. If you'd like to be on hold next on deck, you call 201-DEAD-HUG. That's 201-332-3484.
You're making my job sound so much more complicated.
Why is that?
Doing it during the show.
Oh.
You know, yeah, it's a sort of...
I'm just, I don't know. I guess nobody's listening over the radio, uh-huh. So unless they're streaming. If they're streaming already, then they probably know the number. That's a good point. Fair point. I'll take the note. Let's figure out a greeting for this guy that's not how you doing and isn't 18th, 19th century.
I mean, plain
England.
Hello is good.
Yeah, you know. You could extend the O. Hello.
Yeah, I mean...
You know what?
A very Philly thing.
It doesn't require a response, which is, I guess, what intimidates people. You know, I mean, well, how are you? You know, you're not expecting a response, and in some cases, you don't want a response because if people told you really how they're doing, you'd be appalled.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just sort of an opening comment. You know, it means like I'm acknowledging that you're alive and we're in proximity to each other and that maybe we can talk to each other. I mean, you see this in the bar. This is like sort of bar etiquette. You know, what do you say to a person when, you know, I generally don't even do the intro. I mean, if I meet a new customer, eventually I will say, you know, I've never met you before. Well, I wouldn't say that, but I'll say, you know, I'll just put my hand out. I'm Mike. I haven't met you. What's your name? You know, that type of thing. So I will introduce myself formally like that. But generally, I take their order first. And, you know, we sort of Maybe there's a topic being discussed at the bar. You know, we'll talk a little before I even say, you know, what's your name? I haven't met you before, that type of thing. I met a former Jets football player. I mentioned that I worked at the stadium, and this guy was so humble that he didn't even mention the fact that he was a member of the Jets team for a number of years ago. He's an older man now. But you think, you know, hey, I sort of opened up a topic, he would start discussing the fact that he was a player. It wasn't until he left that somebody told me he was a former Jets player. I was like, wow, that's a humble guy. You don't see that too much.
How about sup, John? One of you,
sup? Yeah, sup.
Sup, and then, but then yeah. throw in a Philly-ism, John, J-A-W-N.
I have a personal...
Sup, John.
Yeah, I'm against sup. I had a brother-in-law, former brother-in-law.
Wait, are we still on with this caller? Hello?
I think so.
I can hear you, yeah.
Okay.
How you doing?
I put some people on hold, and I wasn't sure if I lost you.
Not a fan of sup.
Hold on a second. Okay, you back?
Yep.
All right, stand by one more second. Okay, we have a Christmas tree, a lit switchboard. Now,
what's up is fine. I have no problem with what's up.
Or what's up.
No. Yeah. Just keep it at what's up. There's nothing wrong with what's up.
Yeah.
It's two words.
I like what's happening now.
Well, okay. You do your own little spin there.
Yeah. Or if they ask it, if they throw it back to me, I say I'm cool in the gang, my friend.
But what are you going to say? What's up in the past? You mix it up. What's up in the future?
No, I mean, you know, how's it hanging?
What's
you know?
Up now? How's it hanging?
Classic.
Yeah, that's less.
You know?
Can't
only towards men, I guess.
Well, right? Hey, everything's hanging, right? Gravity?
Yeah, I don't think, you know? I think women appreciate it less.
everything's hanging. Gravity is pushing us down.
Yeah.
All our body parts are being pushed down.
I just feel like a sad trombone happens when you ask it to a woman. You know,
yeah.
By accident.
I this is something older men can look forward to in the future. One of my customers at Masses once commented that he was hanging so low now that
how low was he?
He was hitting water in the toilet when he sat down.
All right, you know. Tom. Anytime the hotline's open, Tom. You could just
so you never think that's a possibility, and I didn't think it was a possibility. But apparently it is. I don't think he was lying.
So I should rule out how's it hanging?
No, well, for an older guy, it may be a little more, you know, troubling. Let's put it that way.
How about just time of day? Good morning, afternoon.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, good. I think that'll work. Yeah.
You know.
Or if you know a foreign language.
I just say hi.
Say it in the foreign language so it gives you sort of an air of,
yeah,
you know, being a little... smarter than the average.
Buenos dias, yeah. Throw in a little buenos tardes.
Maybe a little you Portuguese.
Can, you roll the R, maybe?
Yeah,
I used to be able to roll the R. Yeah. I can't anymore. Yeah. You know.
I have a shaved head, so that's not going to work for me.
Well, you know, never give up. That's what people say. Anyway, we're gonna keep it going here. You got anything else for the topic?
No, I'm good. Thanks. I got the good morning or the time of day, so I'm going to stick with that.
All right. Let us know how it works.
Thanks.
Yep. And this is Slice of Life. We're going to go to this caller right now. Caller, you're on the air. Where are you calling from? Caller, you're on the air. Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Jared from New Hampshire.
Jared from New Hampshire, right off the bat, giving us your name and where you're from. Thank you for that. So do you have anything for the topic, sir?
Sure do. I hate it when people feel like they need to touch you constantly when they're talking to you.
Yeah, I'm guilty of doing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm no Joe Biden, but I'm definitely. I'm from North Jersey. I have maybe some Italian in me. I talk with my hands a lot.
See, I'm sort of the opposite.
With friends, though. Uh-huh. With friends, come on.
I think I'm the opposite. I'm. I'm like borderline autistic as far as like touching.
Well, that's not a bad thing in 2019 to just be like, I'm going to let you drive this, how this goes, you know.
But I did have a recent experience where I did have a few too many. And I did sort of become a touchy person.
Uh-huh.
And I thought about it the next day and I thought like, well, that woman must think I'm a jerk. And I think she did. I think that was my I think that was the overall impression I gave out that night.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, too bad.
I, in my 20s and going into my 30s, I was like, started to become aware that like, you know, for both men and women, like certain people, like just let them lead how this is, how, let them lead how the handshake, whatever they want to do, like I'm going to let them stick that arm out first, or I'm going to let them go in for the hug or whatever it is. Like I used to always initiate and I, then I started to realize like, oh, some people like don't like this or some, I'm going to guess wrong. And I was thinking about something recently where, I used to DJ at a bar. And one of the head bartenders was this woman who had OCD and didn't like people like kissing her on the cheek or anything like that. And I knew a little bit about that. Like I knew that she had OCD. Maybe she's a little particular. I showed up to her birthday party one time and her girlfriend like came up, saw me entering and was like, hey, how are you? Like hugged me and then whispered in my ear like, When you go to approach, I'll call her Jill. When you go to approach Jill, give her a quick hug and then that's it. And I was like, and I could have like, you know, it was the nicest thing.
Yeah.
It's like the nicest thing to do. Just like tell me what the hell you want, what this person wants. I don't really like that was like the kindest thing for someone to do as I'm entering a party and I don't know this person that like, she could maybe she could read the anxiety on my face as I walked in. I was trying to keep it cool, but like, you know, I have a card. I'm like trying to like go in and she was just like, going for a quick hug. No kiss on the cheek. I'm like, I was like, thank you. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Thank you. And I did exactly what she said and I sat down and I had my, you know, whatever meal and I left and it was like, good. Okay. Done. Just let people know
Well, you don't want to make it awkward by like having a question, you know, what should I do? So, I mean, and I think each generation has its own little customs. I'm a little older, so I come from the handshaking era.
Yeah.
Now we're in the hugging era, so I'm awkward with the hugs. So I sort of do what you do, where if somebody's coming to me, it's not like I'm not going to straight arm them and say I'm not a hugger, you know. But you know, it is awkward. And then I think there was even, wasn't there even a Seinfeld episode where the kissing thing?
Yes, and there was there's a great episode about that. And, and that's like common around here.
Yeah, no,
and some people go in for that. And when they want you to kiss their cheek,
right.
I'm like, do I then hug you or is it just the kiss and then we back away?
No, it's so awkward.
Yeah.
And
do
once
people
you
ask for the kiss?
No, no.
No, no, it's like, hey, no. and they stick their cheek to yours.
Yes. Well,
to like, it's weird.
No, it's awkward.
I never know.
It's awkward.
But but here's the thing. If I'm the last guy going up in a group and I see that they're all doing that, then I know, okay.
Yeah.
Like this person is getting the cheek kiss from these three people in front of me. Mm-hmm. So now I know that I have to do that too.
Okay.
And then I watch what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But if I'm the first one, I don't know. Hey, I don't like any of this.
That's not the intuition.
I hate it.
But the thing is, once you reach the kissing level,
it's
hard to back away from it. So I've reached the kissing level with a fellow bartender at another bar.
Uh-huh.
And now I've got to go through this every time I meet her there. And it's awkward. You know, sometimes I'll be sitting there at the bar and I got to do this whole thing. She's turning her cheek.
It's a dance.
You know, she's turning her cheek and I'm there like some weirdo, you know, puckering up to, puckering up to, you know, slobber on her cheek. When I just as well.
Just tongue.
I just
tongue on cheek.
I just as well just do like a little hand wave, you know? What's wrong with a little hand wave?
I do that.
I acknowledge you're here. Why do I have to put my lips to your cheek?
No, I've reached my mid-30s, and now when I enter a situation, I just do the – I'm a hand waver now.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what people want, and I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable.
I think the hand wave may be the perfect medium because it –
It is. It's the safest bet.
Yeah, it's the safest bet.
And, like, I'm going into it thinking, okay, a lot of times, like, I'll know the guy and I know his significant other, longtime girlfriend or wife, but I don't know them well enough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, or sometimes I know the wife and I don't know her husband well enough. Yeah, but like, if it's the first version, like, you know, I'm at an event, the guy comes up to me to shake my hand. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, do I hug your wife? Uh-huh. Do you not mean to, you know, does she not want me to touch her? Like, I never know what to do in those situations. Like, if I know the wife, then I will, like, you know, always go with what they, like, if they're going in for a hug, I'll hug them. Then obviously, like, I'm not going to hug the dude unless I know him as well or something. Like, so then I'm like, okay, hug, handshake, got it. Yeah. But if it's like, if I know the dude and not, you know, significant other, like, I don't know what to do.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Those are situations I don't know how to play.
Yeah.
At all. And it's rough. Yeah.
I've just grown to be really comfortable with awkwardness, I guess. Mm-hmm. I've had so many awkward handshakes. Just kind of the norm now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we haven't even touched upon the fist bump. I think it was a way to sort of, you know,
it's an OCD thing, and I'm a little that way sometimes. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, I work in a public building, mm-hmm. you know, and people are coming in and out all the time, and so, like, it's become a common thing with my coworkers. Hello and goodbye, we all just fist bump each other.
Really? Okay.
Especially around this time of year.
Male and female?
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay.
Actually, no, female, we don't do anything.
Yeah.
Female, we don't do anything. But the men, for some reason, and this just started when I started working there, it was already a thing.
Yeah.
These guys just, we fist bump each other, goodbye.
Yeah.
And that's enough for me because I'm just like, this is a thing at this job. Okay. Like, it's flu season. Fine. You know?
Fist bump came after the handshake. People were uncomfortable with the handshake.
Yeah.
And so it progressed to
Obama fist bumped.
He was the one that popularized.
I don't think I think he helped.
Uh-huh. Well, that was the era. Yeah.
I think that's when
the fist bump came up.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever shook a young person's hand. It's, you know, I always fist bump, you know, my nephew or, you know, it's like.
It's fun for the kids.
Yeah. It's, you know, and I prefer it to the high five.
Sure.
You know, which. I don't know why parents always are training their kids to do high fives.
It's the easiest thing to grasp at, like, age 3, I think.
Yeah.
And that's all.
You can get too aggressive with that when you get older, though. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've seen young people get aggressive with it. Like, I've seen young kids wind up for the pitch and then just smack your hand like, gah! You know?
Okay.
Like,
yeah, all right.
And they laugh. They run away laughing like they got away with something because they did. You know?
That's been around a long time. I'm thinking that the high five has been around since, like, the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, it sort of came up then. But now the fist bump is sort of predominant. And I'm old fashioned by shaking hands. Yeah, I'm still a handshaker.
Oh, Bad Guy Zero on Twitter had some great suggestions for our Philly listener who didn't know the greeting. This is at hashtag Slice of Life Show, which is the fill-in. We're filling in for Tom. Tom Sharpling, the best show with Tom Sharpling, which will be back hopefully in a week or two. Tom is out working, and he will be back soon with stories that you will want to hear and more. But Bad Guy Zero on Twitter says he's a fan of What Up Buttercup and What's the Word Thunderbird. Those are great.
Yeah.
And Mary Jones in The Time of Monsters says nothing wrong with a yo.
Yeah, yo, not a fan of yo.
Not a fan of yo?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Not a fan of yo.
And Tyson Brand Chicken, oh, that's an ad. I'm sorry. That is an ad.
Not, see, I don't like the, like the sup and yo. I'll put them in the same category. It just like, it just seems a little too informal and it's a cliche now. So yeah, not a fan.
Someone is echoing, stop being on the phone when you're, taking turns, talking to service persons.
Mm-hmm.
We are not just a means to an end. If you want to avoid human interaction, make your own damn coffee order off the internet. So that's on Twitter. We're at Best Show for Life, hashtag Slice of Life Show, the fill-in show tonight. Dear Lord, a Rude Dog reference as I live and breathe. Yes, someone remembers Rude Dog and the Dweebs, a television show that was also just a means to sell a children's brand of clothing, which I dove in headfirst for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 201-332-3484. We want to get a couple more calls here. As we're talking to, once again, caller, what's your name?
Jared.
So 201-332-3484. That's 201 Dead Hug. And we want a few more calls on the topic of Please Stop.
We're doing several topics now. Aren't
well,
you?
Yeah, that's what
we
do.
What's your preferred greeting? You know, how do you deal with socially awkward moments? I think that might get some good calls.
Yeah. So I'm checking the Twitter. And multitasking, we had a couple calls, but they dropped, so we are talking to Jared, and you're calling from where again?
Oh, great. New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
Yeah, I'm from Utah, new to New Hampshire, so...
Utah.
Oh, wow.
What to tell you about New Hampshire.
God's country.
What's the biggest difference, would you say, from Utah and New Hampshire?
Actually, I'd say people are a lot nicer out here. Mm-hmm. New Hampshire's got a lot of nice people.
Mm-hmm. You like the cold climates?
It's colder, like in the middle of winter, mm-hmm. but overall, I'd say Utah's still pretty cold.
Uh-huh. Mm. Did you ski out there?
Hello?
Yes. Sorry, yes. I'm putting a couple other calls on hold. Sorry.
Oh,
brother. All right. Yeah.
Do any skiing out there?
Oh, yeah. That's definitely the state sport.
Oh, yeah. No, I've heard – I'm not a skier myself, but I've always heard Utah is the place to ski.
Take a ski in there, buddy. Jared, we want to ski. We're going to go to these other calls. Thank you for calling, man.
Thanks, Jared.
Cool. Take care.
You're on Slice of Life with AP Mike and Pat.
Yeah. What's up? How are you?
What's up, dog?
Yeah, you hit us with a sup.
Sup, dog?
Yeah. Trying to get under my skin.
My name is Matt. I'm from Reno, Nevada. How are you?
Reno, home of the world's biggest hamburger.
Bowling stadium.
I thought you were going to say whorehouse.
Well, home of the world's maybe whorehouse, period.
Bowling alley?
No. Mike's talking about the Bunny Ranch, and I'm talking about the Awful Burger or something. Isn't there like the world's
awful,
biggest?
Awful.
Yeah, the Awful Awful. It's like a giant, and if you eat, if you finish it, it's free, but it's like impossible to finish in one sitting or something, right?
We've come a long way.
As people? Yes, I agree.
Is the Bunny Ranch still open?
And of course
it is.
Well, the owner's gone, I mean.
Oh, really?
Something? Yeah, he died, right?
Well, I don't know.
But the place is built into a kitchen in the back of a casino that's like not even a casino. It's really just like a video poker parlor, and... Yeah, it's weird. It's a very strange place, but it's rad that you know about it.
What, the Bunny Ranch or the place that sells the burger?
No, I mean, everyone knows about the Bunny Ranch. The Bunny Ranch isn't even in Reno. It's like an hour out of town.
Yeah.
But the Awful Awful, that was a pretty interesting piece of minutia. That's like weird New Jersey
status. Yeah, and the reason I know that is I used to love Dave Attell's late night show on Comedy Central called Insomniac with Dave Attell. I loved that show, and it was on at a time when I was like high school, going into college, like spanning that overlap a few years. Loved that show. I thought Dave Attell was just such a funny host. He's since gotten sober, but that show was literally about him going town to town, getting wasted. And even as a sober dude myself, I loved that. It was just, he's just such a funny guy. He's so quick and he's like such a funny comedian, but
just busted the entire premise of my entire call, but you're not wrong.
Wait, what do you mean? You're gonna call about Insomniac with Dave Attell?
No, I've called the best show This is the third time that I've called the best show.
Well, this is
Slice of Life.
Yeah,
I know Slice of Life, but I've called.
You've called into this phone line to on a Tuesday night. Yes.
Well, I've called multiple times, but I've called three times. Once, twice.
Three times.
Once when I was on acid.
Uh huh.
Ooh.
And tonight is another night that I am on mushrooms, and so I was just calling in to, you know.
You're holding down information just fine.
I'm not scared. I'm just, it's like kind of my accompaniment, but it, like, I applaud Dave Attell's sobriety, but I'm super weirding out on mushrooms and also a DMT vape right now. So
can I ask you a question? How often do you do this? And
Tuesday nights?
Well, just Tuesday nights when you listen to the show? Really?
Yeah.
And you don't work tomorrow, or are you off tomorrow? Oh, you're off tomorrow?
Let me ask you one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Oh, don't Longmont pushing me, please.
Do you want to be scared?
Oh, God.
Do you?
I mean, I sleep listening to Negative Land sound collages, so that's not going to bum me out that bad, but I'm not scared.
Wait, are you hearing me an echo? No.
Yeah.
You are? Wait.
No, I'm hearing whatever you're playing. Do you want to be scared? Whatever the audio clip you're playing, I'm hearing an echo. Yeah.
No, well, I'm not playing an audio clip. I'm trying to put my mic in echo, and it's actually not working.
Oh, shoot. Am I hearing things?
You actually might be, because I'm – right, Mike? You don't hear me, Mike.
No, right? I don't hear the effect.
Yeah. And I'm sure that my technical fumbling isn't making him scared. It might be making Dudio scared if he's listening.
So every week you do mushrooms or LSD?
I microdose stuff, and I do it actually. I live in the Bay Area, so it's like I actually do it under the purview of like a clinician, so it's not super weird. But I do recreational doses on Tuesday night and listen to the best show. That's kind of my thing.
How about now?
Yeah, okay. You're putting the reverb on.
Yes,
like I said, I'm not that gnarly yet to where that's going to scare me, but it is kind of scary.
Well,
so you find being under the influence of these drugs enhances reality? I mean, so when you come down, reality is sort of not as good as when you're on these drugs?
Different. I mean, I don't do any other drugs other than one of these psychedelics, I guess you would call them.
Right.
Whatever.
I had a friend who did shrooms and went to see Avatar, but then realized once they started kicking in, he realized that he parked his car in the wrong lot and he was going to get towed. So he left Avatar and went to try to move the car, and he was so out of it that he could barely figure out how to do that, and he was just the stress of this journey became this like metaphysical out of plane experience for him.
See, that's what I don't get, you know. I mean,
I'm sorry, I feel bad for your friend.
No, I would probably have a similar experience. That's why I'm not a fan, because isn't like reality difficult enough that like, you know, altering it is going to make it more difficult? So why would you want to make
that
it
Mike?
More?
Is what? That Mike?
Yes, that's Mike now. I could put him on reverb if you want.
why would you want to make reality more difficult and, you know?
Because it's difficult enough as it is, right?
I mean,
I don't know. I don't know. There's a way longer, more depressing, like, explanation for all of it. But the point is that this is, like, kind of like a cool, safe spot. Like, you know, I would never go see Avatar. I would never park my car in a parking garage.
Well, I want to say this.
Any of the things that your buddy did, but like
I'm sorry to cut you off. One thing that most people, and this is like 90% of people who did mushrooms and saw Avatar, 90% didn't mind the use of papyrus font.
And that's a gross font. So
please continue.
I'm on mushrooms right now and I mind that font.
They got away with it. Anyway, I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, you guys are awesome. It's, if you guys are there, if Tom's there, like, whatever.
Well, Tom's not here. If we're here.
No, I know Tom's not there. Yeah. I know Tom. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't matter if it's just, like, if it's you guys or it's Tom or whatever, like, you know, this is, like, a place where, you know, I can be chill, whereas I would never go to a movie theater or a parking garage or any of those things.
Appreciate you.
Whilst this, because that would be super anxiety inducing.
Do me a favor and stay hydrated.
I got a bottle of Gatorade right next to me. Right.
All right,
now.
Perfect. Do you have any Doobie Brothers albums?
No, I called. I don't know if it was last week or the week before. I was the one that Tom was saying that I should listen to Yes during the entire Bay Area blackout.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's pull that up.
Yeah, so I'm just going to, as soon as you guys are done, I'm just going to listen to a bunch of Yes.
Listen to Yes. I like that you brought up Negative Land. Great.
They got a new record.
Oh, really I'll check it out. I didn't know that. All right, well, thank you for calling. I'm going to go to this other call and keep on rocking in the free world. Get weird. Get high.
Get weird.
I thought it was keep it weird.
Let's get weird now. Hey, caller, where are you from? Who are you?
Me? This is Jack in Clifton.
Jack in Clifton, home of the TikTok.
Diner.
Yes, currently.
And Rutt's Hut.
Currently under renovations. Rutt's Hut as well, yes. Mm-hmm. You can't get that past me. And
fine establishment.
Yeah, Great Notch Inn is not in Clifton. It's in Great Notch Little Falls. That's right.
I still haven't been to Rutt's Hut.
Rutt's Hut?
Rutt's Hut.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
do they have the splitters?
Rippers. Yeah.
Rippers,
come on,
yeah.
Man. Come on,
or if
Mike.
You have it well done, it's a cremator.
If you have it well done, it's a cremator. You're schooling me.
Uh-huh.
That's the secret menu. Yeah.
What's your go-to?
Oh, it's got to be a ripper, at least two.
A ripper with what?
Mustard.
With the relish. It's got to have the yellow relish.
Yeah.
And mustard?
Sometimes. They make their own mustard and relish there.
Okay.
And actually, I've probably put the relish on thinking it was mustard, and it was relish. But it's all good.
Okay.
I like sauerkraut and mustard.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Spicy brown, the way it ought to be. Forget that yellow stuff. Ugh.
But I got a few for the topic.
Sorry, we're only going to talk about hot dogs tonight for the rest of the show.
Well, I mean, hot dogs are great.
No. Please, go ahead.
Well, from anyone who's from the tri-state area who has to commute into New York City, as I just did, actually, I just commuted back. I got back from work. But, you know, anyone who does that on a daily basis knows what a personal hell that it can be. And there are a few pieces of etiquette that I would have as pieces of advice to people who maybe don't know it already, but... top of my list is if you're on an escalator, move to the right if you're not walking up it. Because
like
all the
that.
Walking people want to move to the left.
Exactly.
How about just move to the right, period, when you're going up and down? Like, here's what I have a huge pet peeve, which is that the Grove Street path station is a nightmare in the morning. And, like, these commuters are swiping their MetroCard and running down the stairs to the left. If there's a railing... you run down on the right, and the people run up that are getting off the train on the left. Mm-hmm. That's the etiquette.
Yeah.
Like, you learn that in grade school. Come on, people.
You got the rebels, though. You know,
a lot of people walking on the left now. Yeah.
I don't think they're rebels. Actually, I think that they're idiots.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of things now that they put in place that actually make you have to walk to the left. That's the real problem.
Yeah. But
there's always stores on the left, or there's something on the left that you...
Caller, I've seen people in New York City that are MTA workers with the yellow Home Depot plastic chain that are blocking you from going... And I'm like, are we this dumb as a culture, as a society? Like, that you have to have a person with a salary holding a yellow plastic grade school sash so that you know which way to go down and up? Like, are we not teaching this in the public schools?
No, isn't Japan, don't they have, like, I think they may even have people who do that regularly in Japan because they've got the same sort of commuting
nightmares.
Hell, that we have.
I wouldn't doubt it.
And,
China?
I think that's what they've had to resort to, is they have to have people who have to help the public with just, you know, doing the right thing, moving along. But
well, they also have those. They have guys in Japan that squeeze people into the subway during rush hour. That's their only job.
That's what I'm saying. We're going to get there one day.
And Japan has a guy that's just running around pinching people on the subway.
Well, while we're
he's the Osaka
about
pincher.
Hey, I'll take that over what I've seen in the subway.
Yeah.
That brings me to my second gripe: is the subway. Please stop Showtime. I think it's worn down now. I think it's not as popular as it used to be, but it's annoying having to try to go home and somebody do a gymnastic scene in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a
Showtime.
Yeah, I'm actually
Showtime. I'm
actually a producer of of Showtime, and I mentor these kids, and they've come a long way. So, you know,
what's your split?
My split is. You know, I get paid in good sportsmanship. If I see it on the field,
I say keep it on the platform.
Yeah. On the train is annoying.
Yeah, because you're standing there waiting, so why not have a guy with 8 dolls extended from him that he dances with? You know, that's diverting. You know, you're just standing there watching the rats on the tracks, and you know. Have a little entertainment on the platform, but keep it there.
Watching the rats in the tracks is almost a Springsteen lyric.
Yeah, the buskers, they don't...
Sorry.
...on the train. And, you know, it always feels like you're about to get your head clipped by one of those guys, too.
Yeah,
sure. The ones that do the twirling around on the poles.
Yeah.
Yeah, the twirling, yeah. Not a good thing. Keep it on the platform. That's my my message to the entertainers.
But those would be my my two number ones for people that are in commuting situations. I could probably think about 50, but are the top two gripes.
Yeah, bathing, you know. How about bathing before you commute, you know?
Or let the people off the train. Who are
or bathing
off.
On your There's commute.
People rushing onto the train knocking me over.
Well, I appreciate that. And we'll turn it over to a couple calls we got on hold.
Thank you.
That's a whole show in itself.
Sure. Caller, you're on with Mike and Pat.
Hey, what's going on?
You know what? A whole lot.
Covering a lot of territory tonight.
Pat Byrne, you were just at the Rancid show.
I was. I was at the Misfits show.
The Rancid show.
Yeah, I mean, Rancid definitely knocked it out of the park, but
They opened for the Misfits?
Well, no, the Damned opened, and then Misfits... both opened. It was a great bill. Like I actually paid over $100 because I was like, I've never seen the Damned, Rancid. Believe it or not, are always good live. Mm-hmm. I've never seen them do a bad show. I haven't seen them in like 10 years, and I've heard that they're still good live. So I was like, all those two bands alone, and then the Misfits. I'm like, I have to see if this is going to be a train wreck or if this is going to be good. Like, it was a punk rock show at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, wow.
Which coming out of my mouth is like the craziest thing I've ever said. But it's, once you got past the fact that you were there and then the song was half over, you kind of enjoyed it. But were you there too, caller? What's your name?
No, I wasn't. This is Oscar. I'm over here I'm in Jersey. I'm in Union County.
Okay.
We're watching the first game of the World Series there, Mike.
Okay. Score?
We got the Nats are up.
Oh, wow.
5-2. Not that it matters. 5-2. Listen, I don't like when people say Chipotle instead of Chipotle.
I've never heard Chipotle. I'm sorry, Chipotle what?
So when people say they're going to eat at Chipotle, I'll be hanging out with friends.
And
this happens a lot.
Instead of ch.
They put the L in front of the T instead of the L after the T.
Say it again for us.
So people will say, they say, let's go to Chipotle, right?
I've never heard that. And that would hit me wrong.
Chipotle.
But I don't like it.
But, remind me your name one more time. I'm sorry.
This is Oscar.
Oscar. So, Oscar, having grown up in North Jersey and being so close to New York and upstate New York, there's a weird line that gets divided somewhere between the Jersey, Hudson, New York area. Where people don't say the word idea, they say ideer.
Right.
Idea-r. Part of me dies when I hear
it's
that.
It's nuts.
Oh, I
it's
hate
insane.
It. Ideer.
It's insane.
I got an idea. Stop pronouncing it with an R.
Idea.
Yeah.
An idea.
That's my idea.
Yeah. And it's spelled, it's very clearly spelled Chipotle. And then they'll casually, they don't even care. They'll just say Chipotle.
and I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as Chipotle.
Do you do that, Mike?
That's what I call it, Chipotle.
Oh, no.
No.
All right, that's all I got. You
just
guys are great.
Just think of Truman Chipotle, Mike.
Okay.
That's how you know it. Yeah. Thanks, caller.
All right, see ya.
See ya. Are you still there? Is this the same caller? Whoop. We had a call, then we lost it. But you can give a call back if you're listening to the, you'll be the next call on 201-332-3484. That's 201-332-3-HUG. Right?
Yeah. How full was the that Madison Square Garden show?
Let me turn some Globetrotters back on. Hold on a second here. Because we're talking about a sports arena, so I need to get into a sad dog mode. All right, so
was it a sellout?
No, but it was pretty damn full. Okay. It was. I looking around during the Misfits set, I couldn't believe how full it was.
All right,
because I'm just like, oh, here I am. I'm contributing to Glenn Anzalone's fantasy of selling out Madison Square Garden. Uh-huh. You know, like whoop-de-doo. Are we gonna? And then I'm there, and I'm like, oh, this is actually like pretty great.
Uh-huh. That would be nice now that they're encouraged to do more builds like that. Because, yeah, get some big names, put them together, and it's not your typical Madison Square Garden show. Yeah, that'd be great.
The Damned were great. I've never seen them. They're still so good.
Yeah.
And Rancid was great. Those guys just, like, they don't get enough credit, but they, believe it or not, the Damned went on first.
Okay, all right.
And I was, like, trying to get there just to see as much as I could, because I heard they were starting at right at 7:30, and they did.
Wow. Okay.
But they, you know, all the songs that I like really knew were towards the end, so it was good. But yeah, like I just forget how good Rancid, like the kind of like people kind of just like you know, shrug them sometimes. Uh-huh. But they're really like good pop songwriting, like period, like just catchy good songs.
Yeah, no, like, I never went to see them. I had a couple of their CDs.
Yeah.
And, nah, I would expect they'd be good to see live.
Like, nobody really sounded like them at the time. Uh-huh. Like, in a sense that, like, they kind of had their own branded version of that 90s, you know,
to me, they
reggae ska influenced, like, you know, obviously predecessor would be, like, the Clash or somebody.
Yeah,
but, like,
yeah.
But they had, like, a weird stamp of, like, their own version of it. I don't know. Okay. I can't really peg it, but it's, like.
I mean, I didn't go far with them, but to me, it sounded like a definite Clash knockoff, like Green Day were early on, you know.
Yeah,
they both sounded like that, which I enjoyed. I you know, it's like, but they were good songs. They were doing their own thing with it, you know.
It was good. I was really glad. I mean, the Misfits set was honestly the worst mix set of the night. Like, I think it went like the sound got progressively worse. Like,
really?
The Damned sounded
the other way.
Yeah, this Damned sounded the best, and then Rancid, I was like, oh, what happened?
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like, wait, what really happened? The Misfits were like, you know, and I was like, what happened? So let's go to this call. We have a caller right here on Slice of Life. You're on with Mike and Pat.
Hey, Pat.
Hey, were you at the Misfits show?
No, I would never pay that much money, even though I don't even know.
Well,
what
excuse me.
you went, right, Pat?
Yeah, I went. I contributed to the Glenn Anzalone
retirement
fantasy camp. Yeah.
How much did you pay to get in there?
I don't want to say, but it was, let's say, north of what I wanted to pay by a little bit.
Did you pay over 100?
You just said that.
Oh,
I think I just said that. Yeah.
I watched some of the footage on YouTube. You know, it was really amazing, the size of the crowd. I mean, obviously the place was sold out. I've never been in MSG, but you know, it was amazing. The crowd was so huge, but Glenn, it's rough to watch him. You know, he looks, it's just the weight he's put on, and I don't know.
I think he looks good. Considering he's 60, right? He's like 62 or something?
Yeah. So you love the show across the board?
Across the board, no. I loved, like, it was ridiculous, but kind of great. You know, I mean, like, I didn't expect them to play a lot of the songs that they play, but then again, like, they're trying to fill in the gaps of like an hour plus set headlining Madison Square Garden. So I'm like, oh, of course they're going to play this. But like, you know, surprisingly enough, they didn't play like Attitude. I thought that that would be like a go-to encore song.
Right.
You know, they didn't play Halloween 2, which I thought, no, I'm just kidding. Why would they play Halloween 2? But, at some point I thought that was the only Misfits cover band name that was left if they, you could choose from a, from their catalog. But they played, they played Children in Heat, which I love. That's like one of my favorite Misfits songs. And,
Children in Heat?
Yeah, Children in Heat. It's a great song.
Suggestive title. No, I've never heard that one.
It's a really good, you know, 80s punk rock song, sing-along song. And
pretty perverted title there.
Well, it's
Children
Misfits.
In Heat.
The guys.
How do you know they're not out playing in the summer? Heat,
yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
You know, what, get your mind out of the gutter. You know? It's an innocent song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've never heard it. I've never heard it
Look,
before.
I'm not celebrating the lyrics. But, I'm just saying it's a catchy Misfits song.
I didn't jump into the gutter when I heard the title.
If you go through any of their lyrics, Teenagers from Mars. I mean, these guys weren't, you know,
yeah, no,
Bob
I,
Dylan
yeah,
with
I,
these
I,
lyrics.
Yeah, it, obviously they were, you know, all the whole horror thing, but
yeah.
Children in Heat crosses, like, you know, kids and, like, animals in heat, like dogs in heat. Like, it's mm-hmm. very weird.
Well, you know, I like the song.
Maybe there's a couple right, kids right. on a seesaw.
Yeah.
And the song Attitude, that's going to be, like, the most sexist song in, like, all of rock history, really. Like, it's so blatant. The I mean, you do know, like, the verbatim lyrics, don't you, Pat?
Listen, I've never been in a stadium where people were screaming, masturbate me, over and over, all right? But it happened. It happened at Madison Square Garden. And did I stop and look at the person I went and say, well, that was weird? Yes, I did. Where we weren't celebrating these lyrics, we were enjoying some very dumb music that we all grew up listening to in North Jersey punk rock. I mean, I don't, you know, do you want me to stand here and defend Glenn Danzig's songwriting?
No, like I'm saying
the guy was a creep. Like I'm not celebrating this.
On the best show.
I'm not celebrating Glenn Anzalone's fetish weirdness.
Yeah, come on. I'm not asking you if you're celebrating anything. I'm just saying on this show, on the best show, there's
this
often,
isn't the best show. This is Slice of Life.
I know.
Best show will be back hopefully next week.
Tom washes his hands of this show.
In that studio, you guys collect lists of, you know, this type of rock band or this type of rock song.
Not tonight, my friend.
The song Attitude.
No list tonight. I'm just
the song Attitude is like the most sexist rock song written to date.
Maybe. I think some of the other ones he wrote might be maybe worse. Who knows?
You're saying it's more sexist than Brown Sugar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what about Skulls? He wants
I don't
he
know
wants
the
their Skulls.
I don't know the song, so I can't wait it to.
Yeah.
I'll look it up when I get home.
Anyway, we got another call. We're going to keep it moving, but you have one for the topic?
Yeah, please stop blank, right?
Yes.
Tom needs to stop ignoring us when we're demanding that we'd be able to hear ourselves or hear the show when we're waiting on hold when we call in. Mm. Like this has to come to an end. We have to be able to hear the show. All of us callers.
How about this?
This has to stop.
How about this? You have a one ear plug with the wherever you're streaming it from. Your
no, but I'm listening over my
listen,
my phone.
This isn't the listen, Cassius. This isn't the place to call and vent about tech issues. We're not doing that tonight. I'm serious.
but you guys never do this. So this is the only.
Cassius, I don't know. I don't have the answers. I didn't set up the board and
get
Jason
phone.
Isn't here. Yeah, we'll
lots of people
we're
have
doing,
two phones.
We're doing our gosh darn best.
Another smartphone. That, yes, that's Mike's good. Idea.
All right.
Get
try that.
Phones.
Yes.
Thanks for calling, bud.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right.
You can never have more.
Jeez Louise. Oh, gosh. I hung up on the only call we had, and now that's – oh, God. Please call back if that was you. And okay, here we go. Slice of Life, you're on the air.
Hey, Pat, this is Perry from Philadelphia.
Oh, thank Bobbert. How are you?
Hey, so I'm fine. Just had band practice, and
you don't want to attack us for tech issues, right?
What's that?
Never mind.
No,
go ahead.
I don't want to attack you. Heard the topic. Is it please stop?
Blank.
Something like that.
Yeah, there's about eight topics right now, but yeah, whenever you.
Okay.
Want.
Can I pull a? I'm going to do one for the please stop. Okay. If that's okay.
Yes. Whenever you're ready.
Can I say, please stop saying that people who have aged, you know, who have aged, as we all do, look bad once they get older. Because if we all look 20 at 60 years old, it would look really weird. It would just be so weird. Why do people say that? Mm-hmm. Oh, it looks really bad. Not for 60.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No.
Do you think it's wrong that I enjoy the song Children in Heat by the Misfits?
No. What are you acting on the lyrics of Misfits song?
No. I was singing along to a catchy song when I was 16, and you know, like these songs maybe were also written when they were teenagers. Why would I be an a-hole for that? I mean, this guy just called me up and was like, "Well, that's
you
pretty."
Would be 16.
Those lyrics. I'm like, "Of course they are. They're Misfits songs. Like, what do you want me to?"
If you get upset about a band that wears skull makeup,
skulls. I brought that up. I don't have to listen. I don't have to defend Glenn Anzalone songwriter. That's not what Slice of Life is about, right?
No, but Abison, he's an incredible songwriter. And he was influenced by horror movies and weird stuff. Do I agree with the lyrics or think that anybody should think they're like, you know, intelligent things to take away from? No, but you can enjoy them. You can enjoy horror movies.
Yeah, exactly. It was probably something from a dumb horror movie starring Bela Lugosi and Vampyra. Who even knows, right?
Yeah, probably, but my main gripe was the thing of like, oh, he's not looking so good. I actually think he looks great for his age. And he's moving around and running around on stage and jumping around.
Yeah, that was actually the most offensive thing of the call, was saying that he looked bad. I'm like, he's out there.
Yeah.
He's clearly working out. He probably lifts.
He
could probably bench press Mike if he wanted. And me on top.
Full head of hair.
Full head of hair. Right. Like, give the guy, look, I'm not saying, I don't know. I got all worked up.
Was he bare-chested? No, he wears the vest, right?
Bare-chested.
Bare-chested. Wow,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He looked great. I'm 34. If I tried jumping up and down like that on stage for 5 minutes, I'd be like, all right, we're going to cut this short, set short tonight.
Mike,
Glenn,
I want to make something clear. Glenn Danzig believes in the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. He was bearing.
All right, good for
him. He showed up to the gun show.
I watched videos. He looked great, and he sounded great.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Listen, if you were in my boat,
I lost my voice.
Oh, that's fine. I was worried you had a bad connection, Perry, but I won't make you keep
disconnected last time when I called Tom.
I won't make you talk too much, but I will say, if you were in my position, and you found yourself a couple days before the show, and you knew you could attend this show, and it was a little over $100, and it's the damned Rancid and the famous original Misfits, featuring Glenn Danzig, Jerry Only, and Doyle Wolfgang von Frankenstein, would you, Perry Schall, get the ticket?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And I also
no
agree,
brainer, right?
When I saw Rancid a bunch when I was a kid.
Same.
And then I didn't
always
see
good
them
live
for a long time.
Yep.
And then I saw them maybe like 6 years ago at like Riot Fest. I had a day off of tour, and I was like, "Hey, let's go sneak into Riot Fest and see Rancid." And they played better 6 years ago than they did 15 years ago.
Let me tell
they
you something.
Incredible.
One of my favorite albums of all time, and if I could write the 33 and a third book on this, I would.
Can we say it at the same time?
One, two, three, Out Come the Wolves.
Life Won't Wait. Okay. I thought it was Life Won't Wait.
All right, I gotta go. No, I'm just kidding.
I love that record. Nobody talks about it.
Sorry. I know, nobody does talk about it, but that is good. I think that's like my number two or three album, but no, I think they made a perfect record in 1995. And I think that you can listen to the whole thing, and there's not one bad song, and there's not a lot of bands that can say they have that record. So
how many songs about buses?
Exactly. Well, I tweeted that once.
Yeah.
I tweeted
how many
that
songs
once.
About buses on
it's
that one?
80% of the album is about riding the bus. Yes, Mike. Yes, I did tweet that once.
I appreciate
the ultimate bus album.
Yes, the ultimate bus album is How Come the Wolves.
Name more ultimate bus album. You can. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that actually most of the 33 and a third book that I write, there's going to be an index about the different bus systems that they rode. A little map. Most of it will be a map.
I think that they do a tour in California where you can go to all the sites they talk about in all the songs.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that I'm half serious, but I'm pretty sure I saw that somewhere.
Wow. Does Brett Reed do the tour, original drummer?
Oh, man, maybe. You know what? Maybe that was the weakest link because they're great now.
They are great now. I was actually thinking that when you said that.
Yeah, and I'm sure the band were incredible, but that's just...
No, but I can't.
One of the most legendary bands.
Can't stress this enough. The Damned being on the bill was one of the reasons I bought the ticket. I've never seen them. They killed it. They were so good.
Awesome.
I'm so glad I saw them. And if they're touring again in a smaller venue, I hope to go to because I wanted to see more of their set. And yeah, that's all. Punk rock
that's
forever,
all.
Forever punk rock. But Perry,
well, thanks for
you,
taking my call.
Yeah, you have a new album coming out, Wildflowers of America. We hope to debut some of that on this stream, on the Best Show maybe, or somewhere, and you sent us that. We're going to preview that on our own, and congratulations.
Thank you. I'm really excited.
Yeah, man.
Cool. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye,
Mike. Perry.
Whoever else is there, I don't know who's there. Okay, bye.
It's Mike and me.
Okay, bye.
Hey, you're on with Mike and Pat. This is Slice of Life.
Hey, Pat, what's up?
Not much. Who's this?
Colin in Pittsburgh.
Oh, thank Bobbert.
I missed the last half of Perry's call.
We're talking about Rancid, you know?
Yeah, I know. I got to please stop.
Oh, please, yes.
What was the guy that called before Perry? What was his name again?
That's Cassius, yeah.
Please stop calling.
Sorry, that's not fair. That's not fair. I wasn't supposed to laugh.
I know.
He gave me a hard time, so I laughed.
The Best Show is not a place for bullying, but maybe Slice of Life. I'm allowed to be a little bit of who I am.
Yeah.
That guy's a herb. You know what? That guy's a herb. What kind of little tattletale herb is trying to? I don't like it. I don't like any of it.
It was a little. It was stirring a pot. It was a little pot stir.
Yeah.
It was a pot stir for sure.
Yeah, you want to dish it, you got to take it. That's what I say.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
The Misfits. I love Rancid. I heard you talking about Rancid, extolling the virtues of Rancid.
Yes.
Lord knows, if I still lived in New York, I would have been at that show.
Right? Sorry.
Across the street from Pizza Suprema? I'm sorry, Rancid.
Oh, and by the way, I wish
Pizza
I went.
Suprema.
I wish I had time to go. I didn't have time before the show, and then afterwards they were closed. But yes. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Because if I can say this, if for anyone new to the program, what Colin has done is – reviewed so many pizzerias in New York. At one point, I think was it every single one in Manhattan? Did you officially do
something
every
like
single
that.
One?
I had done, I think like a few had opened in neighborhoods I'd already finished at one point. But
right.
Like,
Within
like a dozen, I probably hit every single one in Manhattan.
And you wrote the book, which is Slice Harvester. You should check that out. It's sliceharvester.com, and you still keep a blog on there.
ColinHagendorf.com.
ColinHagendorf.com.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for
that's
that.
That's okay.
But yeah, in the neighborhood where MSG is where, like, you wouldn't think it from the neighborhood, but that is where Pizza Suprema is appropriately named. That was the place that was number one, and I've been there a bunch since then. And holy macaroni, that place has if they don't make a great slice joint slice, then I don't know.
Unbelievable.
Who does.
I never would have guessed that it'd be good.
Right.
Considering where it was. But it's been there since 1965. I think that neighborhood in 1965 was very different.
Absolutely. And they, you know, Penn Station was, more of a thing then. It was not torn down as a rail station yet. And I went by when I was looking for parking around there, I was like, wait a minute. There's, the post office is gone. Now it's the train station?
Post office is still there. It's just not 24 hours anymore.
And I miss that. New York City
it's
used to have.
On 8th Avenue. It's behind Madison Square Garden.
Oh, man. New York City used to have a 24-hour post office. We were the greatest city in the world.
It's unbelievable.
And now what? It's a part of the, I don't know. What's happening?
You know where I used to see Rancid in high school all the time was
Roseland.
Roseland.
And that was where
every year. 52nd and Broadway.
Exactly. I was about to say, we were literally hanging on the corner of 52nd and Broadway. And what Rancid should have done, Colin, before that place closed down, they should have come back and played Out Come the Wolves in its entirety. Two nights, sold out, would have been great. Should have done it. 52nd and Broadway would have been a no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
They just played, I mean, I'm all talk, though, because they just played in Pittsburgh at a water park, and I didn't go.
That's weird. Yeah.
Why is that so funny? Oh, that's so good.
Really funny. It's a water park called Sandcastle.
I'm
next
just
to
picturing,
the Costco.
I'm just picturing Lars between songs just going like, yeah, you guys having a good time on those slides or what? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, skinheads on the log flume or whatever. I love it.
We want to shout out the DMS crew that's on these waters on the log flume.
Yeah, where did
Madball crew
in the wave pool?
Yeah.
Where do they set up the stage?
I have no clue.
It's like when bands used to play Great Adventure.
No, but I mean they had a separate stadium for the bands.
Should I put the air on? Is it too hot?
I'm okay. I'm good.
I'm sweating now. I think all this Rancid talk got me all riled up.
The last time I didn't go to a lot of shows at Roseland after I was in high school, but I used to work this job where I would do catering, like I don't know, like 70, 80 days in a row during the office holiday party season, and I was labeled as a head chef at the catering company. What I did was the catering company, I won't say their name on the air to besmirch them or whatever, but they the head boss would buy all this food prepared from this other catering company called Foods by Maria in Jersey City. And then my job as the head chef was to hide the packages that it came from, basically, and put it on plates.
Yeah. Wow.
Great job. I made $30 an hour. It was insane. And
incredible.
They used to do these hellish office parties, like Succession kind of stuff, mm-hmm. at this nightclub on 52nd Street. Down the block from the Roseland, and I would work these terrible hours to be like, just like, you know, finance bro debauchery, which is the worst kind. And then I'd get out of work and I'd be tired and I was walking home. And one night I got out at like 12:31. It's before the last train. And, this had to be like 2007 or 8. Like it wasn't, maybe before that, 2005 or whatever. It was not in the prime of any of this stuff, and Less Than Jake had just played at Roseland, and the Less Than Jake show, and I was like, I had walked by the marquee, and I thought like, Less Than Jake, who the hell's going to see Less Than Jake in 2005 or whatever? That's so 1998,
right.
And
which would have been my response,
right? Yeah, because we're old jerks
at that point. We were too cool for. Crushed. I don't know what we were.
Yeah, I was also like only 23. You know, it's not like I was like
same.
This big mature guy. But either way, I get out of work at my horrible catering finance bro debauchery job, Wolf of Wall Street, and I'm walking down the street as the Less Than Jake show gets out, and the Less Than Jake show let out, and I swear to God, an army of like hundreds of what's the capacity at Roseland, you think, like 600-700?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
600-700 14-year-old girls. In it seemed like all of them had like four pigtails, were wearing like a mailman shirt, you know, and like some big jorts and a chain wallet, and they were just like rampaging, like,
which was
the
style at
the
time. Yeah,
I mean, it was, I think it's been the style of alt teen girls since the mid 90s,
right?
But they like big striped socks pulled up, you know, like, and there was just like this sea of teen girls, and they were walking down the middle of the street. I saw a girl walk over a taxi cab. They were kicking over trash cans. I saw them try to pull a mailbox.
The West Side Story theme started playing.
Yeah, no, it was like,
but it's
like
a ska version. Riot,
but for Less Than Jake.
That is,
they were
ridiculous.
Just so revved up on ska punk that they were like. But everywhere between,
I want to make that movie with you.
Roseland, yeah, like the Warriors, but it's tweens.
Yes, and they're leaving Leslie Jenk in 2005,
yeah.
Which was a lost year.
Yeah, someone had to travel. The Warriors have to travel from Wontog to Midtown to see Leslie.
No, here's the pitch. So Warriors 2, 2005. The Warriors have been outcasted from Coney Island, and they've been roaming to try to find new turf. Somehow, I don't know if this is the first like inciting incident or if this is the climax of the film, but it's Roseland 2005. That scene happens. I think it's maybe inciting incident, and then maybe we
can I make a suggestion?
Yeah,
like a little tweak.
Go ahead.
Workshop this while we talk.
Go ahead.
What if instead of the Warriors have just been Roman? What if they all just moved to Long Island and had kids?
I love it.
It's like the Degrassi, the new class, and, these teen girls at the Leslie Jenk show are their kids.
Wow. That's heavy. But what if we find that out later through flashbacks? So we start out, right? So we classic Hollywood, contemporary hit, right? You open on the action, right? Open on this scene, or like, how about black screen, text crawl, you know, or fade up on text. You know, it's been 20 some odd years since the Warrior, you know, and we, not like a Star Wars crawl, but like a text fade in that just says some crap went down, you
know. That's the scene, yeah. There's like, and it zooms in on the city skyline onto this riot in progress, and as you get closer, you realize that it's, like a bunch of teenagers.
I think it goes,
smashing up mailboxes.
It goes I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, maybe I'm going the wrong direction here, but I'm imagining, It zooms in and into this riot until it zooms in on the one kid, and then there's like a record scratch and a break the fourth wall, and she turns around and is like, "You might be wondering how I got here."
Oh, to the camera.
Yeah, like a terror, like addressing the audience, like
okay.
That worst SLC punk.
Let's keep that in, but I think we go from text crawl right into woo, like siren into like a close up of one of those heavy as heck metal garbage cans smashing a police car window in 2005. Like,
I love it.
Like Ford Crown Victoria being smashed, and then the glass goes, and then we zoom out of that scene and we see the riot in progress outside the Rose.
Oh,
lane.
I love it.
You know, a young Colin Hagendorf, unsure what to do, holding a box of his future to be claimed best in New York pie from Pizza Suprema.
Yeah.
From the guys who brought you. What movie, Mike?
I'm not sure.
From the guys who brought you that video of your friend holding a goat head on the PATH train.
Oh my gosh, right? Colin! I can't talk about that on the air. I don't want anyone to know about that. Please,
sorry.
I was just talking to Mindy about this.
Someday
that's going to reach the internet, and oh my god, it's over. It's over.
I love you. I'm so
no,
sorry.
I love you too. I mean, I appreciate that you even know what that is. But how about this? This just in, the original Misfits featuring Glenn Jerry, an unknown drummer, and Don Doyle. No, it's a drummer of Slayer. Why can't they just put him on the freaking flyer? This just in, they're going to play the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia on December 14th. Are you going to come down from Pittsburgh, PA? Yes or no?
For the Misfits, absolutely not.
Okay. Well, what if I told you? What if I told you Dropkick Murphys and Agnostic Front were opening?
You know what's funny? I was just going to say maybe if Agnostic Front plays, I'll go.
Well, my friends look out for me like family is not one of their songs, but I really want to quote that.
I've been in a H2O phase lately.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, yeah, I remembered, like. I remembered unexpectedly.
Don't forget your.
I don't know.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's the one. I remembered suddenly that I was in an H2O video when I was like 14.
Wow.
And I looked it up to see if I could see myself, which I couldn't because I was scared to mosh.
Yeah.
And then I was like, this song actually kind of rips. Like, this song is actually pretty. Maybe H2O are good. And then I've been listening to those first two H2O records. I got to tell you.
Yeah,
it sounds like the Bouncing Souls. It's good.
Yeah, some they were definitely of the poppier hardcore, if you can call it hardcore, variety. I worked for a lady who was, I think, married to the guitar player, Rusty. Anyway, but we could talk all night about fighting in the punk wars together. ColinHagendorf.com, Get his newsletter. He's a great writer and a great friend of the show and a great friend of mine. And you are one of my favorite people.
Thank you, Pat. I love you.
Love you, too.
Bye.
Bye. And we're going to keep it moving here. We're going to take a few more calls before we wrap it up. You're here with AP Mike and myself. I'm Pat, and you are on Slice of Life. Who's this?
APMike.bandcamp.com.
Did we just get Baba Booey'd?
Yeah, I guess so.
Are you there, caller?
Yeah.
Wow, you just called to do that. Okay.
It was a one-off, yeah.
How much did you pay for that, Mike?
No, that was spontaneous.
It really was. Let's get the bad music back here. And yeah, I thought we had a fun night, didn't you?
Yeah.
Should we end it, or should we do like a couple more calls?
Yeah, maybe a couple more.
I'm sorry that I delved into my
I went in a complete different direction last week. Have you ever seen any shows at the St. George Theater in Staten Island?
No.
Oh, it's a beautiful theater.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know it was there until recently. I went to see David Bromberg and Los Lobos.
Hmm.
And yes, it was a much older crowd. But it was a great theater. I mean, it reminded me a little bit of the Lowe's Theater in Jersey City.
Okay, so a classic old vaudeville
type
theater. Oh,
yeah. And actually, it's bigger. It's got like a much larger back section. Unfortunately, it was only like sort of half full. My seats, my original seats, had the worst leg room I've ever had.
Worse than an airplane?
It was worse than the Film Forum. You ever go to the old Film Forum when you go in there?
I've been on the one that's right by the Holland I've been to. I don't remember the original, but was it worse than, better or worse than that?
It was worse, yeah. I mean, it was like no leg room at all. But we, you know, once we realized like just about all the seats behind us were open, we sort of spread out. But, you know, it was good. David Bromberg, you know, he hasn't performed in a long time. He became a fiddle. He makes fiddles. That's what he does. And he's sort of the cultural ambassador in Wilmington, Delaware.
Okay. Sounds like he knows Marty Stewart. I don't know why.
But, he, you know, he goes all the way back. He's played with Bob Dylan and Jerry Garcia, all those guys. He was sort of an offshoot band from the Grateful Dead, so a lot of hippies went to see him back in, you know, the 70s. And I think I've talked about the one of the worst bills was Peter Allen and David Bromberg. It was just a weird, who thought those two acts should be on the same bill.
Right.
You know, was thoroughly misguided. But it was a good show. David Bromberg was playing great. His voice sounds great. He could have, you know, played to his older fans, but he played like all new material he's doing now. Los Lobos, I guess they've got a new record coming out, which is sort of a roots album. So most of the songs were in Spanish.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's great. I mean, they've always done Spanish songs. Like, you know, it's great. But I've never seen them where that became like almost half the show.
Sure.
So... But and then they finished great, you know. I mean, they sort of were, you know, they're under a curfew, so it was a little shorter than I expected. But it was a great show.
That's good. I've never seen Los Lobos, but I heard they're good live. We're on with what's your name, caller?
Hey, I'm Cody Peck from Southwest Massachusetts.
Cody in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Very good. So you have one for the topic?
I just popped in late. I actually was this about Tom?
No, well, Tom's out this week. We're hoping he's back soon, and he's doing some work stuff, but we're filling in. This is awesome. Slice of Life with AP Mike and Pat.
Awesome. I listened last week to Slice of Life. It was amazing.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, thank you for bearing with us. We had some power issues last week with the internet, but we're back, and the topic on the table, we have a couple, but... The one we're sticking with the most is the things that you want to see please stopped.
Oh, please stopped.
Yeah, like people walking up the stairs the wrong way when you're going into the subway, or, you know, like, please stop blank. That's the topic tonight.
All right. Let's see.
Actually, can you be on hold for a moment, sir?
Yeah, absolutely.
I have to go to the hotline here.
No problem.
Okay. You're on with AP Mike and Pat.
Hey, what's up?
Mr. Tom.
How's it going, guys?
It's going good now, now that we're talking to you.
I didn't recognize your voice at first there.
Yeah, well, now you do.
You sounded like a bad caller.
Yeah, well, maybe I am.
No.
What's happening,
Tom? Maybe I am. It's possible.
What's happening, Tom?
Not a whole lot. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing good.
You, what you have for dinner?
No, we're too busy, you know?
Yeah, we actually got right to the punch tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, now you know what it feels like.
We got a taste of our own medicine.
Staying
here.
Hungry.
Yeah.
Stay
exactly.
Hungry.
Exactly. Literally. Staying hungry, literally.
Yeah.
Now you know what it feels like when I'm in there. I'm in there. I smell that pizza wafting in. I smell. And I know the score. I know you guys are eating pizza. I'm happy you're eating pizza. At least somebody's enjoying it.
That's right.
But I'm in there doing the work in the shoebox. It's fine. I get it. Now you get it. Now you know what it's like.
I never heard you refer to it as a shoebox before.
It is. Now that I look at it, it's rectangular and small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're good with work. Everything's good.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. No complaints.
We've been holding it down. We've been telling people that to stay tuned. That you know, next week we're going to play it by ear, see if we'll do one of these again,
yeah.
Or you know, depending on your schedule, and that you'll be back soon.
We'll figure it out, man. Who's been calling in tonight?
We had Colin Hagendorf in Pittsburgh. We had Perry Sherrill down in Philadelphia.
Great.
We had some callers. Was it Utah, Mike? We had
Massachusetts,
Utah,
Northeast checking in.
Phones have been ringing.
New York area.
Checking off all the states.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's a very patriotic show tonight.
That's right. Couldn't get Dudio to call, though.
No. He's got other things to handle. Apparently, Batman, the first Batman movie's playing somewhere. Now, he loved that Batman movie. He loved it so much.
Well, who knows? He might call in now. Who knows?
Yeah. Hey, Mike, you hated Watchmen, huh? That's a shocker.
Couldn't have
called that one.
Yeah. I mean, are you? Did you enjoy it?
No, I'm not watching that.
Okay. All right.
I got no patience. I got no patience for that. That looks like fan fiction to me.
Yeah. I wasn't aware that it's a whole new thing, that they're just sort of using the name, and it's not really even related to the original comic.
Yeah, no different than when they put Fred Astaire in a vacuum commercial. He's just dancing around with a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah. No, it wasn't my thing. I knew from the get-go it wasn't my thing. But you know how I like to be part of the zeitgeist, you know, see what people are talking about.
Oh, yeah. No. You're it's so important to you to like what everybody else likes. That's been your MO for so long.
No, it's not
you're
that
just
I...
Gonna be in on...
I just want to know.
You want to hate everything.
No, I don't. I don't want to hate.
You want to take away some fun.
No, I don't want to hate.
Fine.
I don't want to hate. I wish I could enjoy everything. I want to enjoy life. You know.
I don't know. What have you enjoyed that you watched, Mike?
That I watched. I don't know. I put a word out with the DVD bootlegger for Joker. He didn't have a good copy this week. I mean, I appreciate the fact that he does give me the heads up on bad copies, you know.
Good.
Yeah,
good. He'll give you. It's like on Seinfeld when Brody told remember that episode when Jerry got into death blow.
Yeah.
Jerry and Kramer got into death blow, and then Kramer was like. Invited his friend Brody over.
which I want to point out is your favorite. I know this about you. This is your favorite,
yeah.
Best show
character.
Side character, not main character, but
kind
of walk on. Was this his only appearance, only episode?
Yeah.
Only appearance.
Yeah.
The only thing. Guy also barely acted. You look at his IMDb. That was his crowning. His crowning achievement was playing Brody on Seinfeld.
You know who reminded me of? Sort of a stouter Vic Morrow.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
I had that vibe, you know?
Yeah. It was that solid,
serious
solid guy.
Yeah.
I would love to find out, like, he was just like a grip on the show, and they were like some guy that on crew made everybody laugh, and they're like, you know who we should put in that episode?
Yeah,
this
exactly.
guy.
Put him as Brody.
Does he have an IMDb?
He's like, take it easy. That's quite a feat bag you got there.
Yeah. His whole thing was he was eating candy. He wouldn't stop eating candy.
He brought this enormous bag of candy, and then he goes, Jerry's like, that's quite a feat bag you got there. He goes, I brought it for everybody. And then like, the movie starts, Death Plus starts, and then later, and he's just like, I don't feel so good. Maybe you should have been eating all that candy.
Yeah, you ate that whole bag of candy.
Yeah. You take over.
All right, this guy's name is Neil Gentoli.
He has an IMDb page?
No, I'm on just the Wiki Seinfeld. Yeah.
I'd be curious to see if he has an IMDb page.
He plays a bootlegger in the episode.
And he flashes a gun. It's the only gun you ever see any episode of Seinfeld.
It's so intense, yes.
Yeah, Jerry's like, yeah, I don't know, I don't want to film this. And he goes, oh yeah, and he flashes a gun.
It goes to such an extreme so quick for no reason. Yeah
a gun. He's literally going to, what is he going to do, shoot him in the chest in the theater, like point blank?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe he just wanted to wing him. Shoot him
in
the foot.
But he's sitting,
He's sitting
8 inches away.
Uh-huh.
It's almost too close to pull a gun out.
It says he was also in Shawshank Redemption, the Jeff Foxworthy Show, Child's Play, and Next of Kin.
Okay.
But so you got a good run there.
Yeah.
What season was this, I wonder?
Oh, I don't know.
Six, maybe?
Season 8, which makes sense because it was late. Like, Those late episodes, like I went back and watched a few from like the last season, season 9, and then I went back and watched some from the first season.
Oh, the first season's not good.
But it's crazy. But like some of the ones in season 9, you know, their whole excuse with ending the show was like, oh, well, we want to end when we're on top. Uh-huh. Because they were on top. Mm-hmm. Some of those shows were taking such giant leaps of like, let's just be weird or something.
I'm a big fan of the one with the pool table.
Uh-huh.
Where they have to take their pants off or, you know, get so hot and they have to take their pants off when they're shooting pool.
I don't remember that one. that's Seinfeld?
It's Seinfeld.
That was Seinfeld, Mike?
Yeah, it is. It is. I'll bring it in for you.
All right.
Okay.
What, do you need a street copy? Talk to your guy, see if he's got a great episode.
No,
episode with the pool.
I did buy those box sets.
But we're actually we're in the time frame. October 10th is when it aired, 1996.
Okay.
So we're around the time it aired for the first time, and yeah, that makes sense to me that it was in season 8 because they were just starting to be like, you know what? What if he had a gun? bouncing off the craziest ideas.
They're at a point. They're like, well, how can he get Jerry to film the thing? Like Jerry doesn't want to film. Jerry's not gonna film. He's like, what if he pulls a gun on him?
Yeah. Larry David was kind of removed at this point, wasn't he? Like he was.
I think he might have come back for that. I don't know.
Okay.
He left for a while and then came back.
And he always came back to do voices, but he wasn't like season 9 it's very weird when you go back and watch it. Like
Festivus is in season 9.
I think so.
That's
yeah.
A good one.
You know my other favorite actor on Friends is, and he's not a one-off guy, is Kroger.
Yeah, and because Brody, you tweeted that recently, you tweeted about Brody and you tweeted about the actor who played Kroger. I actually looked up all of, like, someone did a supercut on YouTube of all of the Kroger appearances.
It's the greatest.
This guy
it's
was
so funny
great.
When he's just like, like, well, okay, Georgia, if you look at the money, it's like, look at the books we got going, and no one was going to have business. You know, he was just so. He had the best rhythm because he was the one who did Coco.
Yeah.
Coco the monkey.
How about T-Bone?
The way he had that voice. How about Coco?
The library detective was great, too.
Library detective was great. Yeah. And you know what the biggest late era mistake is FDR. Remember FDR?
No, remind
me. They introduced like this character who was like a friend of Kramer's, who was just like this like sweaty guy who was like Kramer's rival or something. It was so stupid.
Oh man, I don't even remember. It's so unmemorable that I don't even remember.
FDR.
Yeah. I mean, if I saw the character, I'd probably remember. But Kroger was George's boss when he – it was like the last job he had, I think, in the series. Mm-hmm. But the boss character was so – It's fun. It's like he was a straight man, but he was like so. It was like the funniest straight man.
Yeah,
just so good.
He was so chucked out. He was so chucked out at work. Like he was like, what if your boss? What if your boss was like a border? It seems like a borderline criminal who's completely chucked out.
I'm blanking out on him. I thought you were talking about the alternative Kramer. I thought maybe that was that guy's name. Remember, there was the alternative. Seinfeld,
yeah,
crew,
the one who
Bizarro.
The guy,
Bizarro, like, yeah.
That was the same episode as Brody.
Yeah.
He was Mr. Heckles.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, that's from the series. That's from the one where it's like, oh, Farkas. When, like, right? Wasn't Farkas was the Newman of that world.
Yeah.
Feldman was Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Or
Melvin,
no.
Like,
oh, wait. Feldman was Kramer, actually.
Feldman was Kramer, yeah.
Yeah.
And he goes, But the guy was like, he's like, hello. What was the Jerry? Who was Jerry?
Oh, man. I got to look it up.
I can't get all these things. I'm not that deep into it.
Yeah, I know. I am.
but
deep into it.
But going back to that actor who played Kroger, I can't remember his name, but he had a tragic death. He died of diabetes. There's like a call where someone put his, like, 911 call. He apparently attempted to kill himself or something.
Oh boy.
Because the diabetes got so complicated. Horrible thing. But his acting chops were so good. Not only in Seinfeld, he also played the crazy military director in Malcolm in the Middle. Mm-hmm. Of the you know how the older sibling was in military school, mm-hmm. and they had mm-hmm. they had that actor who had the eye patch.
Okay.
And he had like a claw for a hand or something. Brilliant also, like just super stern, super funny, like, you know, as silly as a straight man could be, but like super, you know, straight. And that was that actor. He's such a, you know, he's a versatile. Yeah, I found that out just from the night that you tweeted, Tom. I like went into this wormhole of who this guy was. I was like, oh, he's been in a bunch of stuff I knew, which I didn't know.
Yeah, deep dive. You went on a deep dive.
I went on a deep dive. I went on a Kroger
Kroger dive. Now, did nobody calling?
We have a call on hold, but we wanted to go to you because
you take them. You take their call. No. This is bad for business for me to like.
Daniel Von Bargen. I want to honor this guy's actual name because he was a great guy. Great actor.
He was great. He delivered. He stands the test of time now.
Yes. Super Troopers. He was also in that. So he had that, like, you know, I'm a person of authority, but I'm going to be funny as a straight man can be.
Yes.
Character down. Yeah. But
exactly. No, you did it. You did it, Daniel. We appreciate it. Look, we're talking about it today. It's a tribute to a life.
Yeah.
This guy's been gone for a few years. We're still talking about it right now, his greatness.
If you're listening to this, look up the supercut somebody made of all the Kroger appearances. It's really good. It brought me back. I had no idea how funny that
Daniel,
was.
Daniel Von Fargan, we say to you, thank you for serving.
Yes.
And Mike?
Yeah.
Thank you for serving.
Thank you, Tom.
And Pat?
Yes.
Thank you for serving.
My pleasure. Yeah.
We appreciate your service.
All right. Well, thanks. You have a great night, guys.
You too. Well, we'll keep us posted on next week, and we'll steer the ship from there.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. There he is, the voice.
There he is.
I can't believe you held that long. Thank you for holding, sir.
You're so welcome, Pat.
Wow. I appreciate you holding. We obviously had to go to Tom there. We wanted to get him on. But you're our final call of the night, and the topic was... Please stop.
I like to just
please turn
your radio down.
Time to think about it.
Oh yeah. Also, if you could pause the stream in the background.
Okay. Could you pause that? All right. Thank you. All good. So please stop. In Massachusetts, where I'm living, Governor Charlie Baker banned all sales of vapes, any kind of vaporizers, and vape cartridges, all types, just because of. There was a scare throughout the country you've probably heard of. Mm-hmm. and he just put the ban on. So until the start of next year, all types of vape cartridges, CBD, THC, nicotine, are all illegal now.
I think New York is doing the same thing, right?
Yeah, I heard that. And Connecticut was starting to
good for them.
Talk about it also.
Take a stand early.
I mean, yeah, I understand, but I think they were kind of taking a stand because of the THC. They realized that it was actually these faulty THC cartridges that were the actual problem.
No. All the politicians knew it was wrong. They got bought off to let this stuff through.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when the bad things started happening, then it's all of a sudden, we got to ban it. But they allowed it to go through. You know, I mean,
yeah, they did.
How could you not know that this wasn't healthy? You know, it's stupid. You know, do you like to vape? Are you a vapor?
No, I vape weed, cannabis, medicinally, but I'm not really a vapor.
Okay. But you can still smoke weed.
I can, but I don't really like smoking because it's a little more honk. I noticed, I don't feel as great after smoking than vaping for some reason. I think it's just water vapor compared to actual combusted smoke.
But don't you get chemicals with the vape too? Like different chemicals? It's not
you can, yeah. I don't think it's so fully tested completely yet, but the ones I've been using are completely natural. Like the cannabis is natural. They're using MCT oil, which is medium chain triglycerides, which is coconut oil. So I try to go as natural as I can, but you really don't know right now, I guess.
I don't think there's anything natural about smoking. You know, you can say it's natural, but it's smoking or inhaling things into your lungs that human beings weren't meant to do, right?
Yeah, but there are some ways that we've seen it, you know, like vaporizers and like inhalers, nebulizers, things like that are, I guess, medically pushed. But
anybody like bootlegged a CPAP and, you know, just sort of just attach the thing to your face and, you know, go all for it? Dennis Hopper style?
That's probably what people start doing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
You would have think after Blue Velvet, somebody would have, you know, come up with a device like that, you know?
Mark of Evil on Twitter says the pantless pool table Seinfeld was the Maestro episode.
Oh, the Maestro.
The Maestro. I'm sorry. I'm misreading things because it's late. It's been a long day. But
that was a great episode.
Oops. Sorry. Are you still there?
Yep.
Okay. Sorry. I just messed up the phones again. But Rachel on Twitter says there were two sets of doubles on Seinfeld. The actors who played George, Jeremy Piven, Elaine, and Kramer was L. Hankin on the show's written on the show within a show and the Bizarro gang that Elaine meets. Bizarro Newman worked at FedEx.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there you go. But yes. Did you have anything that wasn't vape-related for the topic, sir?
Yes, I did. Tinder and these other social media dating apps, I feel like they're definitely not the best for our culture. Mm-hmm. You know?
Have you had some bad experiences?
That's a big one. No, I haven't. Uh-huh. I've kind of stayed away from it. Because I don't know. I really don't think it's – I don't know. Not right for me, at least. I don't like the whole, like, check out these 5 photos and – base everything on your short bio and assume that this is going to be the person for me.
It's sort of a shorthand way of meeting people. I can't condemn the whole thing. I mean, what are you going to do? Hang out? You can hang out in bars. You can hang out in the grocery store.
Right?
Is it the supermarket supposed to be a great place to meet people? Has anybody ever
in a library?
Has anybody ever met anybody that way though? You know,
in a supermarket. Met, but I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know about term connection.
I mean, come on, you know. So
I guess we need Tinder.
I won't condemn it. I mean, it's a different way for people to meet, you know. I have nothing against that.
Yeah, I think some people just kind of get locked in that type of dating atmosphere, you know. They never really get a chance to get out of the hookup type of culture that promotes.
No, I hear what you're saying. It's easy, you know. People want to do things easy. That's the way they
I mispronounced. It was actually Kruger, not Kroger. Kroger is a supermarket. A little edit here. Yeah. Kroger was George's boss on Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. Correction, my apologies. This is like the New York Times issue that comes out after a week later.
So you can, are you guys going to have a Seinfeld wrap up show?
Well, I'm just gonna do this real quick. Oops. All right. Anyway, thanks for calling, buddy.
You're so welcome. Have a great night.
All right.
Okay. Speaking of FedEx,
yeah,
I have an update on. Not a big fan of FedEx. I have an update on my television situation. I got a new television.
Hold on. Do here at Kruger Industrial Smoothing.
Well, at the Yankees, it was all about smoothing things over. You know, chiseling away, grinding down. In fact, we used to call it the grind.
It says here you worked at Play Now for 4 days.
That should be a 14. Let me just.
That was when he said he was handicapped. And
well, George, yeah. I'll be honest. I could go either way on guy, you. Yeah. But what the hell? We need someone, huh?
Yeah. You so won't regret checked this. Out.
Yeah. I don't care. George, I got something for you. I'm supposed to find a charity and throw some of the company's
Human
money
fund.
At it. They all seem the same to me, so what's the difference?
$20,000?
Made out to the Human Fund. Oh, damn, I've locked myself out of my office again. All right. I'm going home.
All right. That was two clips from the best of Kruger. Uh-huh. On Seinfeld. So, oh, so okay. So let's block the calls, or I'll leave the calls just in case somebody we know calls. But let me go to some bad music for you to wrap up the thrilling conclusion of the Mike versus the flat screen TV era of his entertainment. Uh-huh. And let me just go to the bad music here. All right, whenever you're ready.
Okay. So anyway, I ended up going to there's a Walmart in. Bayonne, just to see what they had available. And the prices were very low. I mean, maybe I should have gone there originally. But I was surprised to find out that you can't go to a Walmart store and then buy a television and have it delivered. They make you go online. So, like, what's the point of having the store if you got to do everything online? I didn't quite understand that one. But anyway, so I did go online. I scheduled a delivery. FedEx was going to deliver it. They told me the day, which is fine. And they had a tracking thing. On the day it was supposed to be delivered, I saw, oh, it's in Jersey City at 5:30 in the morning. So, I'm not going to monitor this tracking thing all day. I figured they'll ring my bell when it arrives. No. So I'm waiting until like 4 in the afternoon. And so then I go check the tracking again. And guess what? It was delivered at 10 o'clock in the morning. They didn't put it inside. It was sitting out on the porch in front of my building. I mean, it's not street level, but it's out in the open. Anybody could have just grabbed it, walked off with it. They didn't even take the time. It would have been 2 seconds to step inside, ring my bell, and left the television outside. So I'm not a big fan of FedEx. Just a heads up to everybody out there.
But did you ever get reimbursed for this TV or no?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, somebody said I still have time to check to see if I didn't use a credit card, but I used a debit card to see if I have insurance that way on purchases, but I doubt it,
Might want to look into it. If any listeners can help Mike out, and I'm serious here, his Twitter is @APMike. He had a really dumb thing happen.
It was an accident.
It was an accident, but, in the world of customer service, if anyone is out there for, what was the brand of TV?
It was LG.
Okay, if anyone is in customer, or you bought it from where? Originally?
PC Richards. They did their thing.
I know, but
LG, I looked at the warranty, it's not covered. So,
still, if there's anyone who knows anyone who knows anyone in the PC Richards & Sons world or the LG world, Mike could use the help. Hit him up over at Twitter @APMike. Let's go to our final call tonight. You're on with AP Mike and Pat on the Slice of Life Fill-In Show for the Best Show. Topic is Please Stop. What do you got?
Wait, what's the topic?
The topic is Please Stop, the little things in life that you just wish would stop.
Okay.
This is Vape from Touchdown City. I tuned in kind of late, so I didn't know what the topic was, and I don't have anything prepared for it. But,
take me down to the Touchdown City where the vape is clear. Okay, sorry.
But I did want to. I wanted to ask Mike. Has anyone ever told you that you sound a lot like David Cross?
No, people have told me I sound like who was the guy from the Man Show? Not Kimmel, the other guy.
Oh,
Adam Carolla.
Yeah, Carolla. Yeah. No, he sounded more like David Cross to me.
Okay, that's the first I've heard that.
Huh.
That's a new one for me too, Vape.
I've heard the Adam Carolla thing a couple times, I think.
Yeah. Huh. Vape, have you embraced the nickname anywhere else outside of the show, Vape?
No, it's like my alter ego for the show, actually.
No, I know, but have you embraced the name outside of the show?
No, not yet.
Will you after I suggested it?
I'll think about it.
Maybe make it a password for something at work, just to kind of remind yourself you're still alive at a job you don't like. I'm just throwing stuff out there. We're going to wrap this up, but I appreciate you checking in, and you can hear yourself tomorrow when this is in podcast form.
All right. Thank you, guys.
You too. Do you think that was a rude way to end that call? Or?
No. He didn't know what the topic was, so.
Yeah, he called cold, right? Yeah. So, let's just, why don't I play a couple more Kroger clips. We'll go to a song, and then we'll say goodnight.
That'll do it.
Yeah. Probably back next week with Dudio. If not, Tom will be here, and he is working out there in the world. We'll be back soon to these them, our parts, and the best show will resume right here at thebestshow.net. Slice of Life is the official fill-in show for the best show.
For the time being.
Not in love with that name, but it's fine. Which is also the slogan for the show is it's fine. Which is a nervous tick thing I say a lot. And, hey, we all got our quirks, right? Mike, AP Mike, at AP Mike, and apmike.bandcamp.com. I'm over on Twitter at 1-800-PAT-BURN, Instagram, that's Pat_Byrne, spelled like David Byrne, BYRNE, who is my uncle, but it's not the same one. Anyway, that's it for us, and we'll see you guys in the funny pages. Right?
Yes.
what's a better out? I don't know.
No, I liked it. It was good.
All right. Let me try that again. We'll see you in the funny pages.
Kruger Industrial Smoothing is heading into the red or the black or whatever the bad one is. Any thoughts?
Well, I know when I'm a little strapped, I sometimes drop off my rent check having forgotten to sign it. That could buy us some time.
Works for me. Good thinking, George.
Lydia.
All right, George, let's go, man.
Or we don't even send the check, and then when they call, we pretend we're the cleaning service. Hello? I'm sorry. No here, Kroger.
Are you done? Silly voices. Come on, people, let's get real.
Good one.
That was bad.
It gets worse. The team working on the statue in Lafayette Square kind of over-smoothed it. They ground the head down to about the size of a softball. And that spells trouble.
All right, well, why don't we smooth the head down to nothing, stick a pumpkin under its arm, and change the nameplate to Ichabod Crane.
That's it for me. Be good, everybody.